we're enjoying ourselves, which is a good sign of your hospitality here in Tillamook. We really appreciate the opportunity to come here and bring your joint ways and means process for the first time in decades, I guess, around the state of Oregon. Sorry it's been so long. The welcome here is the best we've had so far. I guess that's no surprise to any of you. We wish you would have kicked this thing off for us a few sessions ago. This is the fifth in a series of joint ways and means appearances. Although we've had excellent attendance from your state legislature, as you see here, I think with this food, we probably could have got a few more members to come, quite frankly. Appreciate it. We're going to set some ground rules and give a little discussion so you have some context of why the co-chair's budgets are in the format and framework that they are, so that you can give us the excellent testimony and talk to us about how it affects you back home in real Oregon. I want to make sure that the good senator and good representative from this district, Boone and Johnson, get a round of applause. They're the ones who made sure we came here. Some of your noteworthies, your commissioners, Tim Josie, Chuck Herleman, and Mark Labhart are here tonight representing all of you. Appreciate them being here very, very much. Very good advocates for you all at the Capitol. Bob McPheeter is the mayor of Tillamook, and Shirley Kalkoven are from the Nehalem area. Appreciate you all being here also. Bring your constituents, too. Thank you very much. We have a whole bunch of people signed up to talk tonight. And good news is we've had excellent response from communities around the state. To make sure that everyone gets a chance to talk and tell their story, we're going to ask everyone to limit the remarks to about 2 minutes. It's not a lot of time, but as you can see, there's a lot of people here. These hearings go for usually two and a half hours. People get pretty fidgety, especially since we're adults not used to sitting in classroom like our poor students. So we ought to make sure everyone gets a chance to talk. That's the thing. So if you can really keep your remarks on point, that would really help you. I have a timekeeper here that will be showing you 30-second card, yellow card, and this is time to stop me, see the red card. So if you could help her out, I'd really appreciate it. As I said, this is the fifth in a series we've had going around the state. We're doing this because, as you well know, in your homes and in your businesses, these are somewhat tough times for the state of Oregon. As we try and dig ourselves out of the worst recession we've had in a long, long time, your state is trying to dig out of the worst recession it's had in a long, long time. And certainly our income tax revenues, on which we're totally dependent for your state discretionary services like education, human services, and public safety, as well as your natural resources, it's tough to fund these programs. We're the worst-hit state in the nation. Over the last 4 years, we've cut over $2 billion out of your state government. And that government slash education, 60% of your tax dollars go to education, which I think is the right priority. But I think sometimes we forget about that. The new budget process we have is built on the fact that, at least at the state legislature, we don't believe that the boom times of the 90s are going to return. That was a dot-com bubble, a high-tech burst that some parts of our state saw more than others. We're glad it came. But the aftermath is we've got to build ourselves a new structural economy, trying to draw in all parts of the state, Tillamook, Medford, Klamath Falls, eastern, central Oregon, not just the Willamette Valley. And that's, again, part of the reason that we're here. Our budget process is built around what citizens prioritize and getting good results. We'll go through a series of slides here in a minute and kind of line out what we're trying to do and where we're trying to go and again, some of the reasons the decisions are made. There are three basic budget documents that you'll see in the course of a legislative session. Your legislature meets for 6 months, hopefully no more than that, every 2 years. And in that six-month period, we're presented with a budget, the governor's recommended budget when we walk in the door. He has the tougher task of developing a budget based on what we call the December forecast. Your budget is built around forecasts of revenue for the coming 2 years. The governor did that in his budget, didn't have some of the advantages that we have now, because we're building our budget, the the next budget that you document that we usually have in the legislature, called the co-chair's proposed budget. We built that around the March forecast. We have about $200 million more dollars as a result of that forecast. There will be one more forecast in May, and that will be the final budget. At this point in time, we've tried to be a little more proactive than other legislatures in Oregon's recent past. We have come to an agreement, the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, about how much money we're going to be spending this legislative session, no matter what the May forecast is. Well, why would we do that? Well, we're doing that because we feel it's important to build a sustainable budget. I think it's very important to realize that we have next session, the next 4 years to think about, not just these 2 years. Also, I think there's an acute awareness in this entire legislature that ballot measures 28 and 30 failed at the ballot box. Oregonians are not interested in a lot of new revenues at this point in time. As it is, the agreed-upon number for spending in this state at this point in time is $12.4 billion. Sounds like a lot of money to me. I'm just a veterinarian from Canby. But when you look at the fact that the roll-up costs for what we did just these past 2 years cost about $800 million more, that's making us have some pretty tough decisions. I will also point out to the people in this room that while the co-chair's budget is built around this $12.4 billion spending figure, we don't have that money yet. We do not have that money yet. The March forecast was built on a $12.2 billion budget. We've already found, due to the good work that men and women you see before you in Ways and Means, already have tried to find some extra money within these budgets, trying to add a few dollars and cents together, establish priorities early in the process, but we're still at least $100 million short. So if the May forecast doesn't give us a whole lot of money, we're going to have to find other ways to get to that $12.4 billion figure. You could raise all the taxes you want in the world. At this point in time, the state legislature said, we're going to live with a defined budget, much like many of us do in a business or in your personal lives as you try to go year to year. With that, I'd like to go through some slides. So if we can find someone to run the slide projector, that would be awesome. This is Ken Rocco. He's the person that makes our legislative fiscal process and your state process work. The budget's not done in a vacuum. There are principles that are guiding us. We did this last session, and we've done this session. You don't have to take notes. There's plenty of copies of these documents in the back should you want to take those home with you for a variety of purposes. That's fine. There's also going to be some email and some websites that you can download these documents from. But I don't know if you can read that. I can never read that when they flash these things up on the wall. The first two are the most important. That's, again, like I mentioned, we're really trying to build our budget around defining Oregon's priorities. This list, these group of exceptional individuals that you've elected to represent you at the state legislature have actually gone ahead and prioritized every state program in state government, virtually every single program. No state in the union's done that. These people have done that. It's not easy, and it's not popular, as we're going to hear tonight, but they've done a good job, I think, in trying to get a first draft of where they think your priorities are. And the reason we're here tonight is so you can give us feedback, and we can rearrange those based on your testimony. And hopefully these things are going to have good performance. I mean, that's the other idea behind our performance-based budgeting process. We're going to make sure that the educational programs as well as the agency programs give us the results that you expect as taxpayers. The next slide basically gives you an outline of how your state government resources are allocated. I don't know how many times the members of this committee have heard, well, doggone it, Senator Schrader, if you just put the money into education, human services, and public safety and got rid of all the rest of that stuff, man, it'd be all sorts of extra money out there. Well, I'm here to show you on this graph that we already do that, and there isn't a whole lot of money. Matter of fact, there's less money than would be indicated on that graph. You can already see that 55% of the money, used to be 60%, but it's now less, goes to education, higher ed, community college, pre-K, and your K-12 system. You know, about 22% goes to your human services, and 13% goes to public safety. And that actually is wrong, because in that other box, that other slice of the pie you see up there, your judicial branch lays. It's not in the public safety box. Perhaps you should change that. That's another $400 or $500 million. And then there's a little bit in there for employees, our hardworking employees that represent you in the educational arenas and at the Capitol and at the offices here around the state. That, you slice that out, and that 10% other gets down to about 4 or 5%. So I'm here to tell you that 95% of your money is spent on three areas. And the job of this committee is to look inside those areas as well as a few others and try and figure out where you want us to spend the dollars. The next slide basically shows the brief difference between the Senate and the House plan, which gives, I think, a good context for you to raise some very good questions about priorities for the state. We start basically at the bottom of the slide where you see that $12.4 billion spending figure, and we back into how much money we have to spend beyond the governor's initial plan back in December. The next slide is a ways and means kind of slide. Lots of numbers, percentages, footnotes. This is the stuff that really sad people like myself and my colleagues enjoy and hash over, take pride in developing. But at your leisure, it basically shows what we were doing in 2001, 2003, what we did this past biennium, and then what the governor did when he only had the money he had in December, and where the House and Senate co-chairs' budgets are. The percentages, I think, are fairly revealing. Very revealing, actually. You can see most of the budget is in those first three categories. You drop down into the natural resource, economic development, transportation, legislature, miscellaneous, and that's hardly any money, relatively speaking, compared to the top three. The next slide talks about the big gorilla in the room, and that's our state school fund, our K-12 education system. This is, a bit of a wonky slide, but something that your education subcommittee, chaired by Senator Devlin, who actually decided to come outside of the Portland metropolitan community tonight because he really heard there was good food here. And he wants your opinion on the K-12 system. And this gives a little brief picture of where the governor, again, the House and the Senate are in that package, and also shows that there's local dollars that we're counting in that. The next slide points to the things that we've, at least if you're in the system, you know all too well, that when Measure 5 came into being, that the amount of local revenue shown in the light blue or gray started to drop. That's Measure 5, limiting your property taxes. That's a great thing if you're a taxpayer. On the other hand, Measure 5 said, well, the state's going to pick that up. Well, that's not so good if you're a taxpayer because you also pay those taxes. And you can see where that's increased dramatically till about the 99-01 biennium, and then it leveled off quite a little bit. And you can see over the last 6 years, it hasn't changed much. That big bar is about $4.8 billion, 99-01, and it's for all of $4.9 billion 6 years later. Lots of money, but about a 0.5% increase per year over that six-year period. The next slide shows you kind of the comparison with the governor's bar being the first bar, the House bar the second, and the last bar is the Senate expenditures. It's a percentage change in the budget from last session to what's been proposed this session in the various big program areas. Again, the other category, I wouldn't even look at that. That is skewed because of the employee salaries are all put in that early in the session. They will soon be dissipated throughout each agency at this point in time. So it looks like a large bar compared to the previous session. But that's interesting. The next slide shows the same thing, but with regard to the 2001-2003 biennium and what's being proposed at this point in time. You can see where we've been able to make investments and where we haven't. And the obvious question is, well, geez, what happened to education, human services? I think it's the public safety bars that tell the story there because of Measure 11, another ballot measure, locking up the most dangerous criminals we have. It costs money to do that. Not saying it's a bad decision, but it's a decision we all pay for and comes out of the limited amount of tax dollars you all give us. Same thing with the judicial branch. The next couple of slides show our higher education system, and the reason both co-chairs and I think all members of the body are very concerned about maintaining access for kids to get to school. It became very apparent to all of us, and we've represented it graphically here, that when the solid line gets above a certain level, kids vote with their feet and decide. Kids are, frankly, people nowadays 30, 40 years old. The traditional university system or community college student, particularly community college student, is actually a young woman or man that's been displaced from work or find themselves in adverse circumstances. And they can't afford the tuition that's now being charged at the university system. Same thing in the next slide on the community colleges. You can see the same pattern. People are deciding that they can't afford to get a better life. And that's a pretty sad comment about our state right now, and we're trying to fix that. The next couple of slides talk about our public safety programs, demonstrates fairly graphically the big dog in the public safety arena. That's ballot measure 11. It costs money. We're having discussions right now in our budget about whether or not we build another prison, lease a prison, or what we're going to do in lieu of all the other budget priorities that we're facing. The next slide shows the same thing. It's the Department of Corrections, our state prison system. And again, the exponential increase. It's the fastest growing portion percentage-wise of our state budget right now. The next slide talks a little bit about our natural resource investments. We've had to curtail some of those during the worst era of the recession. There was some fund shifting. Some of our, again, Measure 66 dollars, which mandated a certain amount of our lottery funds go to parks and watershed enhancement projects, salmon recovery. We took some of our general fund dollars out of those programs and tried to use our Measure 66 and some federal money to take care of that. And what we're trying to show in this slide is that compared to the 03-05 legislature, that both co-chairs' budgets are trying to make another reinvestment, take some of that general fund, put it back into our natural resources, albeit a little bit at a time, as we climb out and try and make some investments. Last few slides I won't spend a lot of time on. I'll just give you the basically the key to understanding this gibberish up here. This is basically the different program areas, separate slide for each one: education, human services, public safety, natural resources administration. Basically, the numbers appear to be small and often negative, and that's because the governor's recommended budget, the GRB column, is based on what we would like to have spent if we had all the money in the world and could just roll these programs up based on inflation, caseload, costs of retirement systems, health benefits, salaries. We don't have that luxury. And shown graphically in the governor's column. And then the House and Senate co-chair column, you see where we've added money back based on the additional revenue we have available to us that the governor did not when he made his budget decisions. Then the last column shows the difference in investment between the House budget and the Senate budget at this time. And these are just proposed budgets. I will take most of the blame. I'll ask Representative Scott, my co-chair, to take some of the blame. We won't make the two vice chairs take much of the blame. But this is our creation, not necessarily the committee's. We have tried to build on some of the good work they've done in the first 8 weeks of your legislative session. But there's a lot of work to do, and only now are they really delving into these budgets, and it's timely that they hear from you. So, without further ado, the last slide, I guess, is how you can reach us. If you have friends or family, you don't get to talk tonight for some obscure reason, you can email us comments to the address on the bottom there. And you can access these documents and others. And if you have any complaints, please call Senator Johnson. I'm just kidding. She's a very good trooper. We've got a lot of people signed up. I want to thank everybody again for coming. I'd like to thank the three high schools and the hospitality classes, tourism, recreation. I mean, they've done a great job with a great spread. I think they deserve a big hand. And Representative Smith wanted to make a quick presentation to your local legislators.
Thank you. Just very quick, for the folks here, I answer to Co-Chair Schrader and Co-Chair Scott, but I have two people that I also have to answer to, and that's Senator Johnson and Representative Boone. As Chair of Ways and Means Economic Development, I'm always able to enhance the community and never come to town unless I spend money, and I want you to know I did. I went to the Tillamook cheese factory.
Yay!
And then
we want to see those.
What I'll do is I'm going to go through the list, the sign-up sheets. I'm going to call up at least four people at a time. I don't know, six? Let's do five. I can't count that high. We'll do five people at a time, and if someone has to come up or bring someone up with you, if I call you, please feel free to do so. You'll each have 2 minutes to talk, and I have a timekeeper. Unfortunately, I'm going to ask her to be pretty strict, so please don't take it wrong if we ask you to, you know, finish up your comments. And we'll try and get through everybody here tonight, hopefully two and a half hours, and I appreciate everyone coming on down. I'll start with a list of people to come up, and then I'll call out an on-deck crowd also so that you'll know you're next to testify. You can get yourself situated to get up here, and the sooner you get up here, the more people get a chance to talk. Let's start off with Sharon Kelly, Teresa Wisner, Jerry Svensson, Randy Schild, and Bob Simonson, please. Then we'll have Ralph Bohr, Craig Wakefield, Patrick O'Connor, Greg Hammond, and Bill Campbell on deck. We also have I've been informed we have reserved seats up here. That's not because any of us are special. You all are special. So if you've been called on deck and you're in the back, you can come up and sit one of the reserved seats. You can move right up front here to testify. Can everyone hear us okay? Nodding heads in the back. That's a good sign. Please start right off.
Hi, good evening, and thank you very much for coming to the beautiful Oregon coast. I'm sure that you're enjoying it. My name is Sharon Kelly, and I'm speaking tonight as a local volunteer from Lincoln County, representing the local health officials. And particularly in regard to Lincoln County, you may know that, according to the documents that I'm passing out, Lincoln County, as one county, only spends 60 cents or actually receives 60 cents from the state per capita. For a population of 41,000, look at the list of things that they are asked to do. It's an amazing thing. The governor has taken the public health budget and it's flat. And we're not here to ask you for any more money. You may know that with cost of increases, there is going to be a reduction. They are happy with that, and the only thing that we as volunteers and the local health officials are asking you to do is to do no more harm. There are two issues that we need to collectively worry about. The first issue is a document that I handed to you, and I will hand out to you individually. That's my job as chairman of the Governor's Council on Alcohol and Drug Programs, is the issue of hepatitis C. Hepatitis C is the new AIDS. We are getting twice as many cases in the state of Oregon as in Washington. Over 60,000 Oregonians have hepatitis C, and there's no money in the budget at all to deal with that issue. The second issue is childhood obesity. As you know in the handout, 23 to 28% of our children are already obese. You know what the health and social consequences are that, and there's no money in the budget to deal with that. We're not saying that we're not going to do anything. We're going to apply for grants. We're going to do all the work that we can at the local level until you have the resources to give us a hand. But when I leave you tonight, I want you to worry with me and all the local health officials about those two critical issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, co-chairs and committee members. My name is Teresa Wisner. I'm from Lincoln County also. I'm the executive director of My Sister's Place. My Sister's Place is Lincoln County's only domestic violence and sexual assault services provider. We also serve Tillamook County through our shelter. I know, first of all, that I speak for all domestic violence programs when I thank you for putting back in the emergency services fund to the Department of Human Services. It's called the TADVS fund. Although our programs don't receive any of that money directly, it does help our clients a great deal and keeps them safe. In your budget recommendation for this biennium, you've recommended a 10% cut in what's called the criminal fine assessment account to domestic violence and sexual assault services. I'm here to ask you to please not make that reduction. Those funds are used to keep our shelters open, and they also help us to do safety planning and other very important services to adult and child survivors of domestic violence. If you put this money in, you may save some lives this year. In rural areas like Tillamook and Lincoln County both, our bases are such that it's really difficult to find the funding when it's cut from our local base. So if these services are cut, we will lose services to victims. your continuing investment in these programs is really important. What it does is it stops domestic violence in the beginning. What that does in the end is it saves dollars in law enforcement, prosecution, and courts. And believe me, those three items are much more than it costs for an advocate to go out and give services to a victim. Finally, what I'd like to point out is that the criminal fine assessment account is funded through fines paid by people who commit crimes such as domestic violence and sexual assault. 66% of those funds go into the general fund. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Very good.
Thank you for allowing us to speak before you tonight. My name is Jerry Swenson, and I've been a member of the Clatsop Community College Foundation Board for 38 years. I'm here tonight seeking your committee support for state funding for capital construction, as there is a dire need for such money to help build a new campus for Clatsop Community College. I taught mathematics at the college for 29 years, beginning in 1965 and ending in 1994. This is over half the time of CCC's existence, so I saw how the challenges to the college over the years were met. Now, Astoria is a community with a strong Scandinavian heritage. One aspect of that heritage is to make do with what you have or do without. CCC was very creative over the years, remodeling two early 20th century buildings, which were condemned for use as a high school in the 1950s. They were purchased for $1 from the Astoria School District when they built their new campus. Now, Governor Tom McCall spoke at the dedication of the new library. The college purchased the old Lutheran church down the hill and made it into a performing arts auditorium. Most of the remodeling over the years was done and is continuing to be done by the college maintenance department. Professionals were hired only for those jobs needing their expertise to meet state codes. This saved the taxpayers hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars over the years. CCC has been prudent with its financial needs then and would continue to be so in the future. CCC is now at a point where it can no longer make do or do without. The old buildings are deteriorating and it's not financially feasible to repair them, bring them up to code. There's a need for new facilities for science and technology instruction, but there's no space to build on the present hillside site. Clatsop Community College needs a new campus if it's to continue to serve its role to provide high quality education to this community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Bob Simonson, and I'm the superintendent of the Nestucca Valley School System. It's an area of about seven or eight unincorporated towns that are just beautiful. Neskowin, Pacific City, Cloverdale, Hebo, Blaine, Woods. It's an absolutely beautiful place to be from and to work in. My budget process could have been exactly what you presented here today. You said we make our best guess on the money that we're going to get in terms of revenue for the following year. And then we match that up with our expenditures, and we go through what we call a cut process. Unfortunately, in the last 5 years, we've used a cut process every year, just as the state has, because, of course, most of our money comes from you. We are one of the four or five districts, however, this year that was outside the state school fund. That's because we have a local resources exceeded the amount that the state school fund would give us. This year it was about $14,000 more, which helped. This next year it will increase a little bit, so that helps us. Of course, we would like more money to be able to operate our schools. Our revenue, should we have got it from the state school fund this year, would have been $4.2 million based on 5.1. We were even being a little optimistic. Our expenditures are lining up at 4.8. Of course, there isn't enough money to go around. And of course, you have to make some priority cuts in state government. I can't in good conscience tell you to cut any of these programs because they're all worthwhile. There are some that people will tell you, you can't cut here, you can't. Well, I know that you have to. I'm just asking you to make the best decision you can for students, also for the elderly, also for all of the social service things that are near to it and dear to all of us. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Madam Timekeeper, before you start the buzzer, if we could do one more order of business. I'm Randy Shields, Superintendent of Tillamook School District, and I want to explain a little bit our hospitality and tourism program, who are the kids that fix food for you and maybe dinner for most of you tonight. Sure. That's a program that actually is run through the three school districts in the county, Neocony, Nestucca, and Tillamook, and it's a consortium effort where we bus kids to a central site, and their instructor, Carolyn Nyquist, is an instructor of two half-day programs, and they actually finished second in the state this year in food preparation, so you're right, it was good, and there's a reason behind that. Thank you. I had three issues in 3 minutes when I started tonight. Now I have two issues in 2 minutes. First issue, ending fund balance. I'm concerned about the discussion I've heard in the media lately related to the recently released information concerning ending fund balances and how districts have stockpiled money, like hay in a barn or cheese in a warehouse, as we would say here in Tillamook. And I'm going to use the Tillamook numbers for example. Originally, it was released that Tillamook had a 58% regular carryover from the regular budget as an ending fund balance at the end of last year. Since then, the state has actually acknowledged they made a mistake, and our carryover was actually 30%, not 58%. But 12% of that money was money that was brought forward from last year to this year because we received more funding last year, and you've heard that story many times already. But something you probably haven't heard is another 12% of our money was money that we received in excess timber revenue from last year that has to be paid back, basically, in a sense, this year. And so that accounts for another 12%. So ultimately, we have 6% ending fund balance that carries over from last year to this year that's usable. So as you look at ending fund balances and those numbers that are put out, don't believe them all on face value. Because we're a small district at $6 million off right there. Finally, in school funding, I'll get my 2 cents worth in. We in Tillamook are lucky to live in one of the greatest communities in Oregon, but we're not rich. In fact, about half our students qualify for free and reduced meals, and all of our students need the best opportunities for success they can get. Yet in the last 2 years in Tillamook's district, we've been forced to cut 16% of our employees, close 25% of our elementary schools, eliminate elementary PE and music, reconfigure our schools, and increase our class sizes by 30%. All this, and at the same time, we try to meet higher standards with less resources. Remember, as you make your decisions, every dollar you put into education is a dollar you're investing in our future and in your future. In a small rural area like Tillamook, we just can't afford to lose anything else out of our education system. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's get our next group up here. Then we'll have Shirley Kalkoven, Tilda Jones, Les Schultz, Denise Sutton, and Clark Miner on deck, please. Please sit down and begin.
Senator Schrader, Representative Scott, President Courtney, and members of the committee, for the record, I am Ralph Orr, the president of Tillamook Bay Community College. I join those who have preceded me in welcoming you to Tillamook County, and thank you for the time and the effort expended to hold a series of public hearings around the state. I gained an increased appreciation for the service you give when I learned that you stayed until after 11 p.m. in Portland a week ago tonight to hear every individual who wished to address you. I think that was an admirable sacrifice, particularly when I saw you the next morning in hearings in Salem, and I hope that that was noticed and appreciated. Last year, Tillamook Bay Community College served 11% of the residents of Tillamook County. We consistently enroll a high percentage of county residents each year, ranking usually second or third among the community colleges in the state, in that measure of our effectiveness. The colleges led by my colleagues at this table are also consistently ranked very high in the percentage of the population they serve in their respective counties. The people of our counties value the services we provide and prove that year in and year out with their feet and with their pocketbooks. We are the institutions that provide customized training for businesses. We give hope to adults who need to learn to read and write. We provide an opportunity for local high school students to get a head start on their college education. We help small businesses succeed and thrive. We train the skilled workers who will fill the fastest growing professions in the state. And in addition to all of this, we still give local students the opportunity to stay at home and save significant amounts of money while obtaining the first 2 years of a baccalaureate degree. I express my appreciation to you for including in your budget a substantial increase over the amount proposed in the governor's budget and ask you to give positive consideration to a final figure of at least $440 million for Oregon's community colleges. I also ask for your support of Senate Bill 5514, which addresses community college capital construction needs. Tillamook Bay Community College proposes to construct a new small campus, and we seek your investment to help us with this. For a relatively small investment, the state can make a huge difference in the economic health and vitality of the communities we serve. I urge your support of Senate Bill 5514. Thank you.
Chair Schrader and Scott and members of the Ways and Means Committee, and especially our legislators, Senator Johnson and Representative Boone, we thank you so much for the time and effort that you take to come to the coast and meet with us this evening. Along the northern Oregon coast, Tillamook Community College, Oregon Coast Community College, and Clatsop Community College play a vital and irreplaceable role in the economy and cultural richness of the communities that they serve. Investment in education enriches communities by increasing the economic potential of their citizens and by reducing the need for other services. Simply stated, educated people are more able to provide for themselves and are less likely to be in need of social or other services. They contribute to the vitality of the community instead of placing a drain on its resources. This is what community colleges do. And now in this legislative session, these community colleges and the communities that they serve need your extra help. They need your help in the form of increased support for general operations and in the critical support for capital construction's needs that these three schools have. While I could speak of the needs of any one of these three schools, I would like to speak about Clatsop Community College in particular. In 1948, Clatsop County citizens recognized the need for higher education opportunity at home and took the step to meet that need themselves and for their future by founding the first community college in Oregon. They took a 50-year-old building that had been vacated by the Astoria School District and already condemned, invested community time, expertise, and money to bring that building back to life, and created a community college for them and for their children. Clatsop Community College has served the higher education needs of its county citizens for almost 50 years, using facilities that are now almost a century old. We have been good stewards of these facilities, and they have served us well, but they cannot serve us any longer. Numerous on-site inspections, engineering studies, regional accreditation reviews, and recent civil rights audit conducted by our own Department of Education have all concluded that these facilities do not meet current code, are not ADA compliant, have serious structural and infrastructural deficiencies, and cannot be retrofitted to correct these problems. In short, we need a new campus. The project to build a new campus has almost universal countywide support, and the people of Clatsop County are willing to support their college financially. They have proven this for almost 50 years, but they cannot afford to financially support this project on their own. They need the state's help.
I think we got to finish up here.
Clatsop Community College and all of the community colleges of Oregon ask for your support in this legislative session so that we can continue to bring educational and economic opportunity to all people of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just real quick for the next one, there's a Blue Mercury Sable out there, license UCQ 725, lights are on. So if you got that car, y'all might want to go out and check the lights. Yes, sir, go right ahead.
Chairman Schrader, Chairman Scott, honorable members of the committee, for the record, Bill Campbell, Community Development Director, Tillamook County. We appreciate your hard work. We know it's a challenging and difficult job, and it's probably going to be challenging and difficult for a few more years. In Tillamook County, we believe that we're starting to see very positive changes in a good direction. We're seeing some increases in our workforce employment numbers, but I can tell you this. I've never been in a place where people work so hard or are so committed to their community as they are in Tillamook County. This is the land of volunteers, not just the land of trees, cheese, and the ocean breeze. The elements in community development that are really important for us is our infrastructure. At the top of the list is transportation growth management, because that helps us plan with one highway north-south, three highways east-west. These are key and vital links for all of Oregon to get to the coast, for our visitors to get to the coast. In the past 3 years, we've seen a 20% increase in single-family residential development. The majority of that development is in our non-incorporated rural communities. That's along the coastal strand. Last year, we increased and produced over $52 million in value in single-family homes. Unfortunately, the predominant number of those homes, somewhere between 60% and 80%, are second homes for investment or vacation purposes. We welcome that, but it strains our infrastructure. It strains our emergency services. It strains our police services. It strains our water systems that are designed for higher capacities but have a year-round, much smaller population to serve. These are not new stories to the Oregon coast. They're not new stories here, but it's becoming more pronounced because success of development in Tillamook County is in pristine coastline along our estuaries, our rivers. These are highly sought properties being developed, and that pressure has been consistent in my 2.5 years. We support sustaining transportation funding. We support the coordination and funding for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Land use planning has long been a kind of a challenging topic, and a lot of angst has been built up. In the last couple of years, there's been a sea change in that department. I see them as a friendlier face, a more useful face, and a helpful face. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Craig Wakefield, board member of Tillamook Bay Community College. I'm here asking your support for Senate Bill 5514. Tillamook Bay Community College is charged with access to higher education within our county. And who is it that we serve and what does it mean to them? We would have to ask the high school student who's doing the Pathways program that is getting college credits while attending high school. We would have to ask the high school student who wants to spend 2 years at home, save money to complete his last 2 years while he gets his first 2 years at Tillamook Bay Community College. We would have to ask the teen parent who belongs to our teen parent program and graduates and experience success in their life at a time maybe where success is not seen often. Tillamook Bay Community College also fights crime. We go into the jails and we provide GED opportunities for people that are incarcerated. We help adults upgrade their skills. We do a lot of things for the community, and the community embraces our vision. The community embraces our mission. But our walls are bulging. Tillamook Bay Community College, our First Street campus, we had a moment of pride a few years ago when we made our last mortgage payment on our building. That was a big step for our college. But our First Street campus was a mortuary at the time when we bought it. And we would like to see ourselves in a campus that is able to meet the needs of our community. We serve our small business community. We were one of the first colleges in the state of Oregon to have a small business center. There is so much that we need and are willing to do for our community. But we were talking just the other day about how our parking lot's full. They're having to move classrooms around to accommodate the amount of students. We have an enrollment increase of 134% matching this time last year. That is remarkable growth in a difficult time and a difficult economy. Once again, the public embraces our mission. We need support for capital construction. Senate Bill 5514 would provide that. We've been responsible.
We've
paid our mortgage.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good comments. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Denise Sutton, parent of four children who attend the Stuka Valley School District. I'm also a part-time student at Tillamook Bay Community College and Oregon Coast Community College. I've been attending college for now over 20 years. And the road to an education has been a long and windy road with many obstructions in the way. The accommodations here on the coast isn't very good right now. They're doing highway construction, and there's no guided line to follow, and we're just kind of hanging in there. But anyway, my children last year had to have a lot of things cut from their education. We have a PE teacher. Our principal and our superintendent is a dual job. Bob takes on the role of Superman. A lot of services were cut, and we are just kind of making do. And also, I'd like to add that it's very important for my kids to have a good education so they can attend college nearby, because we financially do not have the money to send them off to a big four-year college. And we thought keeping them at home, you know, having something close by for them to go to would be a nice opportunity for them. And also, my daughter plans on taking college courses now while she's in high school to kind of get that out of the way. But I'd like to add that I feel very fortunate for the opportunity that these two colleges provide here to our community, you know, and I used to have to drive all the way up to Chemeketa 20 years ago in the snow. And so I think the drive to Tillamook is bad. It's nothing compared to going up to Salem. So I think it's really important, you know, we have a bond pass, and you know, people really want this, and there's a need out there, and it would be nice if you can fund that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pat O'Connor. I've been president of Oregon Coast Community College in Lincoln County since 1990. I want to speak in support of education funding, especially that which provides community colleges with operational funding of at least $440 million, and which provides capital construction funding for the six of the neediest community colleges. Since others will focus on operational funding this evening, I'd like to address capital construction, Senate Bill 5514, which provides matching funds for six community college projects, three of those colleges which are before you this evening, Clatsop, Tillamook Bay, and Oregon Coast Community Colleges. All 17 community colleges are supporting both of these measures. On May 18, 2004, Oregon Coast Community College passed a $23.5 million bond to build classroom facilities and other buildings to support education and workforce development spaces in Lincoln County. Oregon Coast Community College's current rental facilities are a former bar, a former fire station, and a current Forest Service building. Local voters have provided the local needed match. We ask that the state provide that match. Today I had lunch with local artist Lois Racona to celebrate her 91st birthday. I felt honored that her birthday wish today was that community colleges be successful in getting a positive reception before this body this evening. Please fund community colleges to the $440 million mark, and please provide Clatsop, Tillamook Bay, and Oregon Coast Community College with the opportunity to have credible and accessible campus facilities. There is no better investment in improving the social and economic health of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Good testimony, y'all.
Get our panel up here. We'll have Ed Mederig, Frank Satterwhite, Sam Statler, Jane Hodgkins, and Gus Meyer on deck, please.
My name is Tilda Chadwick Jones. I'm here with some of the other members from the Tillamook Bay Habitat and Estuary Improvement District. We are an ORS 554 special district. We just spent this afternoon in Salem in front of Representative Jensen's Water Committee with some of with one of our bills, and all of the hard work that we have been doing since the floods of 1996, when $54 million worth of damage was done in our area right here in central Tillamook County and in Tillamook County. We've worked very hard on finding where the problems were, identifying them, having experts look at the problems, identify projects for us to do. We have millions of dollars worth of work to do in order to coexist with the people and the natural resources and the nature and the special circumstances in which we live with here in Tillamook County. And in our learning process, we have learned that to get a project done, It takes five permits, and a local permit from our county through the we have our comprehensive plan and the permit we need from our county. We have a DSL state permit that we have to get, and we have to get three permits from the Army Corps of Engineers. And in that process, we have learned that there's duplication of in the permitting process, and it's costing us and the taxpayers in the state of Oregon a lot of money to get to go through the same process over and over again. So we are proposing that the permitting process that was set up with the Division of State Lands cannot work because of the federal regulations that say they have to have the ultimate. And so we're proposing a reduction, a place where you could have a reduction in your budget. Thank you.
Very good.
Good evening. My name is Les Schultz. I'm a Master Woodland Manager volunteer and the president of the Tillamook chapter of the Oregon Small Woodlands Association, both courtesy of OSU Extension. I'm here tonight to ask your support of that organization. Hear everyone talking about education. Well, that's what these people are. You have a bunch of dedicated extension agents out there that are basically trying to do too little or too much with too little. They need their budget restored. If you look around this room, I think you would probably be hard-pressed to find anyone who has not been affected by the extension service in a positive manner. The state budget is up by 9%. Yet the extension is down in Clatsop County at least for 26%. This I do not consider acceptable. We ask that you look at this and consider putting the budget back to the 2001 level. Thank you.
Thanks, Les.
Thank you. Good evening. Chair Schrader, Chair Scott, members of the Commission. I'm Shirley Kalkoven, the Mayor of Nehalem. I'm also the Vice Chair of the Northwest Area Commission on Transportation, and one of the other things I do is to chair the Tillamook County Futures Council. And you've just been given a copy of the executive summary of the vision we created for Tillamook County some years ago. I want to talk for a couple of seconds about transportation. We really appreciate the funding that came through on OTEA 1, 2, and 3. Some projects in Tillamook County were done with that money. The proposed legislation about Connect Oregon is a good but very small start for ports, transit districts, and so on. We have three port districts here in Tillamook County, a railroad, a transportation district, and two airports, and we're a pretty small county. Connectivity to I-5 and the Willamette Valley is critical for us and our coastal economies. And keeping Highway 101 open is very important also for us, as well as for tourists. And I want to remind you that while 101 is an all-American road, it's also the main street for a lot of our towns, including mine. Revenue sharing is vital to small cities like mine. We need to continue revenue sharing. Cigarette tax, liquor tax, that's important to our budgets in order to provide the basic things that cities do for their citizens, public safety, sewers, water, roads, and so on. We also rely on the opportunities for grants from the Regional Strategies Board. I sit on one for Northwest Oregon. We work closely with the Economic Revitalization Team people. For small cities like mine, where we don't have a lot of staff capacity, the help they give us is very important. And I will close and tell you that as chair of the League of City Water Committee, I have to remind you that House Bill 3038, of which many of you are sponsors, has passed the House, and it's critical that the legislation be approved. Thank you.
Thank you. First, I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to speak. My name is Clark Miner. I'm currently a college student that Oregon Opportunity Grant has made education possible for. On March 3rd of 2003, I was released from a 38-month prison sentence with a transition plan of going to college. Since my full-time enrollment as a student at Clatsop Community College, not only have I received a top-notch education, but I have learned skills that have enriched my life as a productive member in society. Because I am taking the steps to enrich my life with a higher education, I have lessened my chances of recidivism by 80%. In college, not only have I benefited from a rich learning environment, but I have built a strong support group within my community. After enrolling in a community college, I found that there is much more to finding education available to students. Community colleges provide education that is available to all of its community in a local setting, directly benefiting the community. My decision to enroll in school was made on my own. My remaining in school and how I benefited from being in school was made possible by going to a community college. There are some community members like myself who do not have the ability to go to a four-year or a private school without having to go to a community college first. There are some community members like myself that benefit enormously from going to a community college before moving on to a four-year university. At one time, I was just an ex-con. Now I see myself as Clark Miner. Honor student maintaining a GPA of 3.7, president of the Associated Student Body Government at the Clatsop Community College, and a future drug and alcohol counselor. Community colleges matter to people like me. I ask the committee to consider doing three things. Increase funding for community colleges, provide funding for capital construction for community colleges, and increase funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Thank you.
When you guys can come up to the table, okay? We'd also like to hear from Christy Vale, Marilyn Lane, Nancy Pyburn, Van Hansen, and Ann Swain, all on deck, please. Go right ahead.
My name is Edward Madera. I'm the city manager of Warrenton. I came down this evening just to be very brief and urge you to support the capital construction of the Clatsop Community College. Warrenton is a blue-collar community, needs this, dire needs of this type of support. I have a statement I'll leave with you, but again, just to urge your support of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Tillamook. We need your support. I have three rows to hoe tonight.
Your name is?
My name is Sam Sattler, I think. First row is the Tillamook Bay Community College, which is vital to this community in helping the education of the youth and expanding the opportunity for those to further their education. Second is the Small Business Development Network, which supported by the community college, but also the network in the state of Oregon, is critical in this county for helping small businesses to achieve success. Many people come in and say they want to start a business and have no idea what business is all about. The Small Business Development Centers give them that encouragement and coaching. The last row I would support is the Oregon State University Extension Service. You invest a great deal of money in the research and information that the university delivers. We need to disseminate that information through our extension agents in helping people learn about the little problems that bother them. The agents do a wonderful job. We need more of them, not less of them. Thank you.
My name is Jane Hodgkins. I'm the Director of Professional Technical Programs at Oregon Coast Community College. It was a new position when I arrived in it 5 years ago with a mandate to create needed programs, but no funds to back it up. We have, however, been able to create some outstanding programs. One example is our nationally recognized aquarium science program. However, due to funding limitations, the program that is in most demand at the college has been nursing, and we've been unable to provide that. There is a nursing shortage in this country. It's going to grow, and it will affect all of us through health care. There are many diligent, bright students in Lincoln County who want to be nurses. We've been able to offer chemistry, microbiology, anatomy, and physiology to help prepare them for nursing. However, they've been shut out of other nursing programs throughout the states because other community colleges do not even have the capacity to serve their own students, let alone outsiders. We have secured grants for the development of a program and donations for equipment. We've established needed partnerships with our local hospitals and long-term care facilities, and I'm here to ask you to support community colleges in this next biennium so that we can actually get this program open and running. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Frank Satterwhite. I'm on the board of Classic Community College in Astoria. I was going to comment on capital construction funds for Classic Community College, but that's already been well spoken to, so I will not add to that. I'd like to tell you a little bit about our students. We serve about 8,000 individuals in Clatsop County and adjacent areas per year, even though we only generate about 1,400 FTE. So you can see that a disproportionate number of our students are part-time. Those part-time students commonly juggle home, work, and school simultaneously while they are attempting to upgrade their lives. Also, a disproportionately large proportion of our students are first-generation college-bound. That is, they don't have a family history of post-secondary education, so they're striking out on their own, so to speak. When we have to reduce services, we do so for those post-secondary students who can least absorb it. So I'm asking, if at all possible, that you help us maintain a level of community college operational funding that will allow us to at least maintain current service level.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
A.D. Gus Meyer, Senator Schrader, Representative Scott, committee members, welcome to Tillamook County. I want to talk to sustainability of a small community. I have just recently experienced a family doctor who has just walked out of the area, and it happened to be my family doctor. Just imagine what happens when you lose your expertise for your health services in a community such as this. Low-income people, 38% perhaps or more, are retired people, and it's hard to bring in professional services to an area like this. The best I could do is find a nurse practitioner for my own health. We have to look into the area of health services in these small rural communities. The next thing I want to amplify is what you heard a little bit before, the removal fill permit process. 6 years, people. 6 years working to get a permit, and it's still at least 4 months away. Just look at the costs that the local people have gone through in developing the technical reports necessary, obtaining the permits. Look at the four state agencies. Look at the time that they're spending on their time of it. We could have done the project five times over with the money, and I asked that. Don't always look to, you know, where are we going to get the money, but where can we save the money? And I think that there's a real big opportunity there to review things like the permit process to save money. Next, I want to put in a plug for OSU Extension Services. This organization locally is one of the most beautiful organizations I've seen, and I've been around the country from my early life. They provide natural resource education and learning. They provide leadership to some 5 watershed councils here. They promote natural resource partnership. They service some 1,600 4-H program and other youth programs. And when you come here to the fair, you will see the results. It's just not a make work, it's a show work project. Please, I ask you, consider sustainability for your small rural communities. And if I may get in one more plug, we heard people from South County, unincorporated cities don't have an identity, and they are unable to get funding to support projects of need, projects of mandate. It takes a great amount of effort to pull through natural health services for the unincorporated communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's get Heather Mann, Tita Montero, Wanda Beck, Jerry Dove, and Mark Trenholm on deck, please. Christy, go right ahead.
Thank you, Senator. For the record, I am Christy Vail. I'm with I'm the Director of the Economic Development Council here in Tillamook County, and I join others in welcoming the committee. Thank you for coming out here to Tillamook, and I hope that you all shop locally and shop often. What I'd like to talk about is the importance of the community development block grants remaining available through Oregon Economic and Community Development. And for the sake of brevity, I'm going to refer to these as the CDBGs. Without these dollars through OECD, we fear reduced funding for economic development, microenterprise assistance, public works, emergency projects, and public facilities. I'd like to share just one example of the impact of the CDBG to one economically challenged community. In the year 2000, the Hebo Joint Sewer and Water Authority was issued a notice of noncompliance from DEQ for their failing wastewater treatment plant. A rural low-income community that I believe some of you would have driven through on your way over today has about 350 people in it and was faced with financing not only a completely new system but also financing stream bank stabilization at the site of the outfall pipe along Three Rivers. Together with the resourceful and talented staff at OECDD, the district was able to secure a financing package through a combination of wastewater loans, and grants and a U.S. Forest Service grant that would position the district near the projected cost of $1 million. Because of the Community Development Block Grant Program, the Tillamook County Board of Commissioners was able to sponsor an application that would allow the district to complete construction of the new sewer facility. Even with the wastewater loan and the grant from the U.S. Forest Service, without the CDBG funds, the cost would have been beyond the ability of the district and the community. Since this investment and the completion of the new plant, the citizens have been committed to implementing changes within their community. That one improvement begat a host of other improvements and investment, including the relocation of a manufacturing facility to Hebo.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Good evening. My name is Nancy Pyburn, and I am the Center Director of the Tongue Point Job Corps Center in Astoria, Oregon. We are business partners with Clatsop Community College. We have about 50 of our students. We have a 500-bed residential vocational educational training facility. We rely heavily on the support of Clatsop Community College to ensure that our students can break the cycle of poverty from which they have come and that they can learn hope, as Clark Miner talked to you so eloquently about. I want to assure you, there's nothing that I can say to you that you don't already know, that you haven't already heard expressed so well. But what I want to assure you as a community member of the North Coast, we will continue to work hard and with hope and earnestness to ensure that our educational systems survive and survive strongly. We will not give that up. We will look for grants. We will look for every kind of partnership that we can to ensure that our young people and our older people have the opportunity to break these cycles and to have hope. We do need your help. I've explored Clatsop Community College from the very, very bottom closet underneath the buildings, through the machine sheds, and I am both appalled and amazed. I'm appalled at what they have to deal with in these ancient buildings, and I am amazed at what they're doing with them to keep them going. I have walked down those halls and seen the floors start here and end up over here at the end of the hall. And people continue to shore them up, and they continue to cheerfully get education and hope in this facility. It is absolutely amazing what the people in these communities can do and are doing. I talked to an elderly woman the other day. I want to switch from youth, which is what I deal in. An elderly woman who went up to the college to enroll in a computer class. She finally got her old Buick, you know, up the hill and got it, maneuvered it into a parking spot and walked into the library because it was the only building that she could get into. And went in there and asked where she should register for a class. And when they pointed her down several flights of stairs and around a corner in this old high school building, she got down there and then she couldn't get back up. And so with the help of some young people around, they helped her back up. And then she said, well, where would my class be? And then they pointed up the hill a little bit further. And she said, I can't do that. I can't get up there. And she was telling this story in the drugstore, and she said, I guess I'll just have to teach myself, and I can probably do this, but I really wanted some help. And that's how we are in the community. We need to have more enrollments. People can't get in to take the classes. They want to go there. And we will do it ourselves, but we need your help. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair Schrader and Chair Scott and members of the committee, thank you for coming to the North Coast. My name is Marilyn Lane. I have the unique position of being an administrator with the Astoria School District and also chairman of the Clatsop Community College Board. Over the past 8 years, I have lived on the North Coast, and I have watched our state invest less and less in real dollars in public education, both K-12 and community colleges. In spite of this disinvestment, schools and community colleges are, as others have said tonight, making heroic efforts to do more with less. We cannot, however, continue on this path for much longer. We must build a strong sense of urgency about supporting our public education system in this state and in this nation. A strong democracy is built on nothing less. I appreciate your willingness to enter into a dialogue with us as educators about how we can make the necessary improvements in our educational system. The system has done well for us in the 20th century. A lot has changed in the 21st century, and we need policymakers, we need educational leaders, and we need our community members to rethink what we need to meet the needs of people in the 21st century in a strong democracy. At the very moment, however, we do need the investment of $440 million for community colleges, $5.4 million for the K-12 system, and support for the capital construction efforts. And I will look forward to entering into more dialogue with you about improvements that we are and need to be making in our public schooling system. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'd first like to begin by thanking the Joint Ways and Means Committee for both attending tonight's hearing and also giving us the opportunity to speak. My name is Van Hansen, and I have lived in the North Oregon coast in the communities of Seaside and Astoria for decades. In the mid-80s, I started a tremendous journey with higher education, attending the oldest established community campus in Oregon, Clatsop Community College. My experience with CCC has been fourfold. First, I attended as a new business and IT management student, and also as a recipient for the Oregon's Academic Opportunity Grant. This allowed me to receive an extremely valuable education and to participate in a cooperative work experience program made possible through financial aid. I can't stress enough about the value of the program and the efforts that it shows to students by the director of the Cooperative Work Experience Program and the many participating businesses in the communities. Success started there. And this is what paved the way to the third passage of success as a student. My first year out of high school, I earned
approximately $7,000, and I realized I needed an education. By participation and oversight, the college classrooms, and assisting other students after graduation, I started a consulting business and had the privilege of serving many of the local constituents in our county. As experience grew in the community, I was awarded a wonderful full-time position with Clatsop Community College. Working with the college, I also participated with the Cooperative Work Experience Program and let many other students, sign up for classes where they could experience hours under my supervision. Like myself, many students had the privilege of assisting with their education. They're now full-time employees in Clatsop County. Many of them work as IT managers, serving in hospitals, assisting in environmentally friendly banking institutions, teaching as instructors at our local Tongue Point Job Corps Center, and directing as IT manager at a bank. In many ways, success started at Clatsop Community College and continues to be flourishing in our community. So please, I ask that you increase funding to the $440 million mark. Please provide support for the bill that promotes capital expenditures, and do increase the funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Ann Swain, and I'm on the community college here at Tillamook Bay Community College. And I'm going to read my testimony so that I get in the proper time frame. Tillamook Bay Community College serves a vital role in the economic development efforts of Tillamook County. The college provides opportunities for university transfer courses, professional technical education for all local residents, but particularly for those who are unable to, due to economic limitations, family responsibilities, and other factors, to pursue their education in any other way. Tillamook Bay Community College provides literacy training, English as a second language, courses leading to a GED or an adult high school diploma. The people of Tillamook County value education. This is evidenced by their recent passage of a countywide library levy, capital bonding for two out of the three school districts in the county, and with the incentive of a state investment in community college facilities, I believe the local citizens would respond positively to bonding for a new Tillamook Bay Community College campus, which would expand its ability for services and opportunity. We have a high unemployment in this county, and we have suffered through declining employment in our traditional industries. To continue to restore our economy, it is vital to give people the education and skill training they need to find jobs in new and emerging sectors of the economy. Tillamook Bay Community College can do that. They are a key player in restoring our local economy, and new facilities will enhance their ability to do that. And I ask you to support capital construction bonds for the priority college projects the governor included in his budget. They are a needed state investment in local rural economies. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Mitch Parker, Dale Buck, Kaylin Jones, Sean Reisergard, and Tim Josie on deck, please.
Right in. Mr. Schrader, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, thank you so much for listening. In September, my name is Wanda Beck, by the way, and I'm a college student. In September of 2002, I started on a journey that has led me further than I had ever thought. I took one course in writing because I'm a wannabe writer. My daughter is president of the Associated Student Body Government. I had a grandson in college, three generations of us there at one time. It was wonderful. It has been a real experience. I had never touched a computer, but my grandson helped me. He'd come turn it on, show me what to do. Somebody would help me if I needed it. It has been great. I have a brand new computer in my home now, and I can do most of the things I want to do.
You come on,
my grandson is there. Pardon?
You can help me out then.
Thank you. And it has been wonderful. These ages have been just great. It's been wonderful to be able to talk to the students, meet with them. Let me give you an example. This past winter term, they gave a special course on the history of the Lewis and Clark expedition, which was very great. The age difference was fantastic. There was a 13-year-old boy who is homeschooled, heard about the course, came and took it, so bright that it kept the rest of us on our toes, and I was the oldest. And I really enjoyed it. I have met so many nice young people. In the newspaper, or somebody coming from the other country didn't know. Most of the time, you'd think 90% of the students in the United States are bad, and the 10% are good. I think they're reversed. And I think our students, the students that I have met, have just greatly enhanced my program, my study. As of June the 10th of this year, I will finish my journey. And the day they hand me my college diploma will be 57 years exactly to the day they handed me my high school diploma.
Hey.
Please think about the Capital Construction Fund when you think about Clatsop Community College, so that it can go on and more generations can get an education there. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. You're doing better than the Senate President so far. So that's
and that was an extremely engaging and inspiring piece to follow, I might add. Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Mark Trenholme, and I'm the Executive Director of the Tillamook Estuaries Partnership. Before I begin, I'd like to thank the chair and this committee for not only allowing us to take part in a truly engaging civics lesson, but also have the opportunity to learn about our community and the extraordinary people in this room who work tirelessly to improve it. The Tillamook Estuaries Partnership is part of a national program called the National Estuary Program. In 1992, the Tillamook Bay was designated as an estuary of national significance. The designation resulted from a recognition both locally and in Washington, D.C., that the natural resources that this area possesses are the foundation of Tillamook's regional economy, and that the decline in the integrity of our water quality and fisheries resources represent a primary threat to our economic well-being. I'm here to discuss one partner in particular who plays a vital role within our partnership and an issue that may affect them in this fiscal year. The Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board is charged with creating and maintaining healthy watersheds and natural habitats that support thriving communities and strong economies. To accomplish this mission, it supports environmental education, research, restoration, and technical and administrative assistance. Every year, Oregon receives federal funds for watershed restoration activities. A significant percentage of these funds is often used to backfill deficits in the budgets of other natural resource agencies. The governor's 2005-07 budget allocates $5 to $7 million of these federal funds to OWEB. The funds support OWEB technical assistance grants, monitoring, and support for watershed councils. I'd like to encourage you to maintain the federal funding allocated to OWEB. Technical assistance grants support design and engineering activities that are critical to implementing our projects. Once again, I'd like to encourage you to maintain the federal funding allocated to OWEB. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Schrader, members of the committees, my name is Jerry Dove. I'm a resident of Tillamook Anglers, and or president of Tillamook Anglers, and I really thought Margaret Carter might sing for us tonight.
Yeah.
I guess we're not going to have that happen. Tillamook Anglers is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization with over 1,500 members. We operate the all-volunteer Whiskey Creek Salmon Hatchery in Tillamook. We raise 100,000 spring Chinook to full-term smolt and 100,000 fall Chinook to fry stage and release them into the Tillamook system. We depend on the state-run, state-funded Trask River hatchery for our eggs. The Nestucca anglers do the same on the Nestucca River system, and they depend on the state-funded Cedar Creek hatchery. Please bear in mind, I said state-funded Trask hatchery and state-funded Cedar Creek hatchery. Why do we do this? Because we like to fish and we like to see our local economy thrive. In 1990, the Oregon Coastal Zone Management did a financial analysis of what the fall Chinook does for Tillamook County. Would you believe over $10 million? And that is just for the fall Chinook from the months of September through December, not counting the spring Chinook, winter and summer steelhead, or trout. Ever since that study, there's been a threat every 2 years by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to close coastal hatcheries. Last session, we filled four rooms in the Capitol, not once, but twice. Why did we do this? To let the department, the legislature, and the governor know that we as sportsmen were willing to pay more on our license and fees to keep the coastal hatcheries open. Now, we did that. We accomplished that. But now Senate Bill 352 is ordering the Department of Fish and Wildlife to purchase up to 10% of the trout from private farmers, private trout farms. That's fine. It sounds great. There's one small problem. There's no funds put in the bill to do that. Consequently, the department's going to have to cut something. Would you like to know what they're suggesting? Cedar Creek for Trask Hatchery in Tillamook County. We would certainly urge you to kill that bill, or if you like the bill, supply funding for it so we can keep fishermen coming to Tillamook County. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Senator Schrader, committee members. My name's Heather Mann. Lately, my favorite phrase is that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So I appreciate the opportunity to present these comments. These are presented on behalf of the West Coast Seafood Processors Association. Our association represents shore-based seafood processors in the state of Oregon, as well as associated businesses. Our members process the major portion of Pacific groundfish, Dungeness crab, and shrimp landed into Oregon, thereby providing hundreds of local jobs and generally contributing to the economic well-being of Oregon's coastal communities. Our members are requesting that the OSU budget for the Agricultural Experiment Station be maintained at current levels. Our members work primarily with the Coastal Oregon Marine Experiment Station, and I'll address comments to Coombs. First, Coombs is increasingly becoming the primary state group to conduct research on seafood. As budgets elsewhere continue to shrink, Coombs has taken on this important role. Research at Coombs is specifically designed to address seafood research issues raised by state constituents, like seafood processors. Through the Community Seafood Initiative, the OSU Seafood Lab is the driving force behind developing a number of new value-added seafood products. These efforts, in turn, work towards strengthening coastal communities. A strong coastal community allows our members to continue to operate their seafood businesses while providing even more benefit to coastal communities. Second, in the last 10 years, Coombs has generated $110 million in economic impacts. Third, more than 20% of the jobs in Oregon are linked to agriculture, including fisheries and seafood. Oregon's commercial fishing industry is an important part of Oregon's cultural heritage. More importantly, commercial fishing businesses provide large economic benefits to coastal communities. Please consider what the seafood industry brings to Oregon, jobs and strong coastal communities. Funding applied research for this industry is critical to its long-term survival and its ability to continue to promote strong coastal communities. We recommend maintaining the OSU budget for the Agricultural Experiment Station. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Tita Montero. I'm a small business owner and the president of the Seaside Chamber of Commerce. I was positively affected by Clatsop Community College before I even moved to Oregon. I discovered the college's Small Business Development Center in Seaside 3 years ago as I was doing research to start our fabric shop. Not only was I provided invaluable guidance that brought a new business to Oregon, but I learned about the Small Business Development 3-year program. I will be completing that program this spring and have also taken computer classes for my business needs. Because these programs are offered through the local community college, the cost is affordable. Our fledgling business could never have afforded the same caliber of instruction and coaching at the private sector cost. 3 months ago, I attended a meeting of Girl Scout leaders held at the college campus. My first visit to the college campus caused me to ponder how our physically challenged population faces undue additional challenges when trying to get their education at Clatsop Community College. One of my customers relayed to me how her husband, going to school through vocational rehab funding, had to discontinue classes because he could not maneuver the campus. Community colleges exist to provide education and to enhance economic development. Clatsop Community College does an excellent job on both fronts, but this cannot continue without current campus configuration and buildings that are disintegrating and beyond repair. The passage of Senate Bill 5514 would provide funds desperately needed by Clatsop Community College. As the president of the Seaside Chamber of Commerce, I urge you to approve funding at $440 million for community colleges to ensure access and affordability. I also ask you to approve Senate Bill 5514. Thank you for your attention to higher education in Oregon.
Thank you. Myers, Susan Green, Pat O'Grady, Rachel Boothby, and Doug Olson on deck, please.
Senator Schrader, Representative Scott. I'm Sean Rearsgard, Director of Environmental and Political Affairs for the Tillamook County Creamery Association. On behalf of the association and our 147 family dairy farms, I thank you for this opportunity to contribute to the budget process. It is especially fitting to meet in Tillamook, where it's possible to see how our community has been shaped by the past budget decisions and discuss how this budget may shape our own future. On your way to Tillamook, you saw the outcome of previous budget efforts, productive family dairy farms, implementing progressive environmental stewardship practices, open space, controlled community development, a successful cheese plant operating in balance with the environment, healthy riparian areas. If you had time for a closer inspection, you would also have noted a rebounding salmon populations and improving water quality. Productive, viable family dairy farms are the hallmark of our community. Viable dairies preserve the rural flavor of our community and are what differentiates us from Lincoln City and Cannon Beach. The state of Oregon has helped the local dairy industry remain viable through support of the OSU Agricultural Experimental Station, the OSU Extension Service, and the Forest Research Laboratory. Troy Downing, our local dairy extension agent, makes a day-to-day difference in the operation of our local dairies while promoting profitability and environmental stewardship. Our community also benefits greatly from the very successful 4-H program, a program that develops future dairy farmers and fosters understanding between rural and urban neighbors. In Tillamook County, 25% of those that are eligible participate in the 4-H program, the highest of any county in the state. On behalf of the Tillamook County Creamery Association and our 147 family dairy farms, I ask that the 2005-2007 budget fully restore general funding for the OSU Agricultural Experimental Station, OSU Extension Service, and the Forest Research Laboratory.
One more. Very quick. Done.
Okay. The Tillamook County Creamery Association, in partnership with the Tillamook Estuaries Partnership, local watershed councils, and the Tillamook Soil and Water Conservation District, and local landowners, has worked to implement Oregon's plan for salmon watersheds by protecting and restoring water quality and salmon habitat. On behalf of the Tillamook County.
I'm going to have to stop you there, Sean. I'm sorry. A lot of people have to go.
Thank you. My name is Tim Gillespie, a Tillamook County Commissioner, and I'm also wearing a couple of other hats today. I'm the chair of the Council of Forest Arsaline Counties, and I'll talk about that a little bit. And then I'm also the president of the Association of Oregon Counties. But the first thing I want to do is thank you for coming. This is a big deal for Tillamook County. You make Oregon proud, and you honor us with your presence. And the fact that you're here means it shows that how much clout that Senator Johnson and Representative Boone have. These are our representatives. The applause doesn't count. Okay. As the Council of Forest Trustland Counties, there are 15 counties that deeded the trust lands to the state to manage on our behalf. We've got something going on at 22 miles up the Williston River. It's called the Interpretive Center. It's a big deal. And this started with House Bill 2501, which I worked on in my freshman year in the legislature in 1991. We have an Interpretive Center that's being built. Now, why is that important in terms of economic development stuff for Tillamook County? That's a natural. But the reason why that's so important is because we spent 7 years developing a forest management plan that talks about sustainable forestry. This interpretive center is going to talk about sustainable forestry for public forest lands. We can show the nation how to do it. It's important, and my message to you is that the people that are delivering the message at the interpretive center to the students and parents that visit the center on a daily basis once this thing opens this fall, talk to you about sustainable forestry. Those folks that deliver the message need to work for ODF, not somebody else. Please remember that. We've got a golden opportunity. The other, I can't go into any amount of detail, but as the president of the Association of Oregon Counties, you can see you've all seen this chart. These are virtually every service that Oregon delivers, and you can see the red is the shared services between us and you. We see ourselves as the County Department of State Services. Treat us kindly. Your constituents are our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Good job. Tell us the legislator, you talk quick, keep on going. Did good. Yes, sir.
He's a tough act to follow. I want to thank you all for coming to Tillamook to listen to the concerns of our community. My name is Mitch Parker. I'm a forester with Green Diamond Resource Company. It's a privately owned company for 115 years old. We own 120,000 acres on the Oregon coastal strip. I've been with Green Diamond for 25 years. I'd briefly like to talk about two topics that mesh or dovetail together operationally. First is restoring and maintaining the ODF, Oregon Department of Forestry's Industrial Fire Prevention Stewardship Forester position. I understand the governor's balanced budget proposes to eliminate all remaining FDE Industrial Fire Prevention Program. These are multi-funded from various sources, including the general fund. The stewardship forester has a mixed responsibility, which increases increase efficiencies, education, fire prevention, suppression, environmental protection, enforcing the Forest Practice Act, and et cetera. Through attrition within ODF, capable and qualified overhead fire management is at risk when multiple fires occur. Stewardship foresters will help bolster this situation throughout the state. If there is an operator fire, the stewardship forester is familiar with active forest operations and is trained and has expertise to manage available resources in a timely fashion that is critical to keep these fires small. Second is our fire protection program. I'm on the board of directors with the Northwest Forest Protection Association. We just approved our fiscal year 06 budget, which was 11.3% higher than last year. Our controllable costs were kept basically flat, but those that were really out of other costs went up dramatically, OPE, PERS, health insurance, and some of those other things that we deal with. These rates cannot continue. We as Oregonians have abundant natural resources. Timber, our renewable resource, is a major economic contributor. The public uses timberlands for a variety of recreational opportunities. Most fires are human start.
I think you need to finish up there.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I will say both of these programs are essential to keeping our forests healthy and Oregon's future vibrant. This also fosters a spirit of cooperation between private landowners, the state, and the public. I encourage you to support and continue funding Oregon's Forest Protection Program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, committee members. My name is Kaylin Jones. I am a senior at Tillamook High School and an Oregon 4-H state ambassador. This evening, I'd like to talk to you about the 4-H program in Oregon, which is provided by the OHSU Extension Service. In Oregon, over 100,000 youth participated in 4-H last year. In Tillamook County, 4-H reaches about 1,300 youth each year. That's 33% of the eligible youth in our county. Youth participate in 4-H in many ways. The most familiar method is through 4-H clubs, which are led by volunteers, and 4-H members complete projects that are exhibited at the fair. In addition, 4-H club members complete community service projects, learn leadership skills by being a junior leader, and develop record-keeping skills and public speaking skills. In Tillamook County, 4-H members may also participate in day camps. This year, 14 day camps will be offered in subject training from art to forestry. After-school programs are taught throughout this school year in science and natural resources, and also school enrichment programs where 4-H instructors go into the schools to help teach nutrition and natural resources. I've been describing the 4-H program in Tillamook County, which closely coincides with 4-H programming at the state level. 4-H also offers statewide, regional, and national team leadership opportunities for 4-H members, such as Know Your State Government, Summer Conference at OSU, and National 4-H Congress. Personally, 4-H has helped me to be more confident and has given me the opportunity to be involved at the state level. I'm currently serving as an Oregon 4-H ambassador and on the statewide 4-H planning committees. I have also been able to host an international student and had opportunities to travel within Oregon and to the National 4-H Congress. I'm planning to attend OSU next fall with the help of a scholarship that I've received through 4-H. But most importantly, I've learned to become involved in my community and to volunteer time to help others. 4-H has given me opportunities and taught me skills that I might not have gotten living in a small community. 4-H is important not only in rural counties such as Tillamook, but is equally important in urban counties and throughout the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Good job.
Co-chairs of the Oregon Joint Ways and Means Committee and members, my name is Dale Buck. I'm a retired dairy farmer in Tillamook County. I'm a member of two OSU Extension Advisory Committees. And I've given you a lengthy handout, and I won't talk about that, but I there's things on there. I just wanted you to know that the sections of the statewide public service programs are involved in for economic and education purposes. And then at the end, I'd just like to say that our extension folks are stressed to the limit. Here in Tillamook County, ours work two and more counties, and that's typical for many counties. And I read the Oregonian newspaper every morning before I eat breakfast. I have for many years. And I read in there of gang outreach programs in Portland, funding dropping. I read about high school dropout centers shutting down. And then I read about the debate of a Madras prison and a North Portland prison that's not being used, stands empty. And those things lead me to ask you to, if you could restore funding for the statewide programs. And I can almost guarantee you that of the 100,619 4-H students last year in the state of Oregon, not a one of them will need a jail cell in a prison. They are people like this young lady sitting by the side of me who I am extremely proud of. And I would like you just to consider that as you do your job. I have every respect in the world for you. You have a tremendous job. And I'd like to say, too, that I really appreciate my senator and my representative who I see really often and bug him about my concerns. Thank you for coming to Tillamook. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Jack Kreider. Someone else is hand-raising. I can't read right next to Jack. Bob McPeters, Mike Souter, and Greg Johnson. Marlene Putman on deck.
Thank you for coming and having us here. Appreciate it. I'm Pat O'Grady from Astoria, Oregon. I own and operate an automotive and marine repair business in Warrenton, Oregon. I'm here on behalf of Clatsop Community College to increase funding on that, if at all possible, please, and stabilize the funding. I started taking classes at Clatsop Community College in 1980. And the instruction instructors I've been with, the classrooms I've taken have been second to none. Been very impressive. It has made a personal impact on my life and has made me a very successful business person in the community. I want to see you increase the funding or at least stabilize it, please. I have youth come to me every year just right before they're graduating asking me, what do I do? Where do I go? And I tell them to start up at Clatsop Community College. Take some classes up there. It will enhance your life. It will help you steer the way in the rest of your life. And, again, I appreciate your time here. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank each one of you for being here tonight on it, and I want to wish you a safe trip home. I am Norm Myers. I happen to be the chairman of the Tillamook Traffic Safety Committee, chairman of the South Fork Prison Advisory Committee, and a volunteer out at Camp Tillamook for the last 15 years and the last couple of years at the Youth Accountability Camp. Two things I've got in mind is, one is we need to look at reducing long-term costs and also reducing losses of income. And along that line, I think of the young men there at Camp Tillamook. They have been denied the normal growth and decision-making. They need to have a way of learning to come back into the basic life skills so that when they get back into the community, they can make those decisions, they can make a living, they can be educated and go that direction. I've seen too many of them because they just freeze on it. They commit another crime, so they get back in the system for the security, and we need to put a stop to that. Because if you can stop them or get them turned around before age 21, there's less chance of them being back in prison later. And there's an area where we need to really consider funds. The other is in traffic safety. I think we need to have more funds for state policemen because when you have a crash, it ruins people's income and costs extra money there on it. And one of the areas is in roads, which is hard to do, in the gas tax. And as was brought up earlier, we have a large portion of second homes here. The people register vehicles in the valley. The gas tax is spread according to the voter or vehicle registration, so the money goes to the valley, and yet they're down here a lot of the time. We need to give some thought to making a better arrangement there so we can keep our roads safe. Thank you very much, and have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for this opportunity to express my opinion. My name is Susan Green. I am a student at Tillamook Bay Community College. I have been a student for the past 4 years, and I'm going to be graduating this June with one degree and hopefully in the winter with the other degree. I started in 2001 when I became a displaced worker when JCPenney's closed in Tillamook. I said, now what do I do? Went to there to Tillamook Bay Community College, where the teachers, the staff, and the students encouraged me to continue and get my degrees. Not just get a certificate, but go for the associate's degrees. If the funding gets cut anymore, you're going to be losing the youth and the people that are being displaced workers because they're not going to have the skills in today's world and the future world to participate. When this happens, we are going to be going backwards as a country. We need to keep our education going strong so that the nation can go strong and we can compete with the surrounding countries that are springing forward as we are slowly shrinking back. So please consider this when you're doing your funding. We do need to keep the education for K-12 and community colleges going strong. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Rachel Boothby, and I want to thank you for coming and letting me speak. I'm a nursing student enrolled at Clatsop Community College. I'm not only a first-generation college student, but I'm a single mother of three children, which has a big impact on my ability to finance college as well as my family. The Oregon Opportunity Grant has given me the opportunity to fill my educational goals and dreams, as well as providing better future for my children.
Supporting community colleges and resources like Oregon Opportunity Grant has made higher education possible for me and many others who might not otherwise have been able to attain one. Community college matters to people like me. I ask the committee to consider actually four things. Funding for K through 12, because I do have children in school. Increased funding for community colleges. Providing funding for capital construction for the community. I am a disabled veteran. And increasing funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Schrader and Chair Scott, my name is Doug Olson. I'm a business owner and also president of the Pacific City Neseca Valley Chamber of Commerce, and I'm here tonight in that capacity and also representing the other chambers, the four other chambers in Tillamook County. And I would like to say for the record, some of you are aware, in the last fall election, I was a candidate for this House district against Representative Boone, and a lot of things were said that weren't so good on either side, and I guess I would like to say that Representative Boone is really a very nice person, and I appreciate what she's done here tonight. And all much of what I intended to say, I think, has been spoken to by others, but I'll reinforce a couple of them. First, on the education side, as a business owner, I have been involved with our local school district trying to pass a bond issue now for the last 5 or 6 years. We have our fourth attempt this May. We've been unsuccessful. It's very, very difficult, and I would encourage you to look to the capital needs of school districts as well as the community college that you've heard so much about so far. The next thing I would say is sort of what physicians are told in medical school is first do no harm. And I would like to suggest a couple of things. With respect to our forests and Measure 34 that failed, our forest management plan and the Oregon Forest Practices Act is actually working quite well. And anything that comes along to modify that, I would encourage you from a business perspective, leave it alone. Our counties, our schools depend on that revenue source, and it's actually working pretty well. Second, with respect to fishing, which is important here, you heard from Mr. Dove about some things with respect to closing hatcheries. I would encourage you to not let that happen. That was a major issue down here a couple of years ago. And you might recall last year, the Fish and Wildlife people had talked about and then closed ground fishing right before Labor Day with little or no notice, and that was an extreme burden to our business people, charter operators here, and to the extent you can control that again, please do. Tourism is a major part. It's a growing part of our economy. Our natural resource base is sliding, and I would hope that you would listen to Mr. Myers about road funding as well. There's some inequities with second homes. And our dairy industry is healthy. Let's keep it that way. Thank you very much.
Good job. Thank you. Get our next group up. We'll get Bill Sargent, Carol Brown, John Sandusky, Ron Rush, and Frank Hannah Williams on deck.
Senator Schrader and Ways and Means Committee members, it's a delight to have you here, and I'm reminded that in our ongoing relationship that it becomes more and more of a partnership, and I'm very gratified to find that out because I've been through Salem many times and had the feeling that I was kind of an unpaid lobbyist and had no baggage to bring with me. One of the things as mayor of Tillamook that I have to say is that we wound up in the same water when the ship crashed on Measure 5. We wound up, as 137 other cities did, with compression and a lot of budget items that we had to pick between because we didn't have the money to pay for them after the property tax crashed. You guys wound up with the responsibility of starting to pick up education, and for a while it was okay, but you're confronted with where you only have the income tax to draw from, basically, you're confronted with trying to catch up with that, too. So as we work on the same patient, we are, you know, kind of on either sides of the bed, and we try not to step on the air hose. The main thing that I would say is that as we work together, cities have, through the Constitution of the State of Oregon, home rule that gives them many of the decisions at a local level to make, and by having that input into legislation as it comes about, that's a valuable part of things that will happen for all citizens. From my own standpoint, the two things, and they're the ones that you have to handle, the most important thing is education and trying to make that work. I have had in my own life about 50 years that I've spent as a teacher and consultant and whatnot. The other time that I spent there was probably because I didn't do my homework. Okay, I'm going to leave off there because we have a lot of people here this evening, and part of our strategy is that some of you will get tired and contribute to our transient room tax.
Mr. Mayor, you need to identify yourself for the record, sir, just for the official record.
For the record, I'm Bob McPheeters, the mayor of Tillamook. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Good comment.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name's Marlene Putman. I'm a parent, I'm a volunteer, and I work here in Tillamook County. I'm the director of the Local Commission on Children and Families, and I have the privilege of working with hundreds of volunteers in this community and to see the impacts that touch hundreds of children also. I'm here to address the Senate budget that reduces or proposes to reduce the State Commission budget, the Oregon Commission on Children and Families, by $28 million of their $45 million budget is the figures I have. For the local commission, I spoke with some of the members that are commissioners for our local commission and also some community members and said, what do you think the impact's going to be? There was some intent, and Senator Schrader indicated there's obviously an intent when you propose a budget, and there's also some rationale behind it, and we don't have the opportunity for a dialogue, but maybe I can share some of the concerns that we have in our community about what the impact's going to be. And these are the four things that I kind of distilled from those comments. It would effectively dismantle our local system. The way the commission is set up is we work with as many of the social service and human service agencies, faith-based organizations, churches we can, because we only have a little bit of money, and you can't do everything with a little bit of money, but you can build connections, you can build investments, and you can build programs, and you can fill in gaps. And that's what we do, and we do it really well with a little bit of money. To reduce that really decreases our ability. The second thing is, it hampers our ability to leverage those dollars. The money we get from the state accounts for about 20% of the funds we have here. We bring in hundreds of thousands to fund local programs and start new programs in our community and build the capacity of organizations to manage them. The third thing is it reduces actually our accountability for the state funds we receive and the flexibility we have to invest locally. When you look at a different structure that doesn't know how or doesn't have a track record of working in communities at this level, you got to set a whole new structure up. You have a whole new group of people that has to learn about our outcome measures and investing in communities. And the fourth thing is, it really destroys some of the tenuous ties we've built by making investments and really true collaborations. If you pull out the $10,000 that funds part of a school-based project or $20,000 from a grant that's divided between three organizations, we can't manage it. They don't have the ability to keep it in place. Finally, we had a question about, is this really an appropriate type of disinvestment to have in a budget, or is really there a better venue to have a policy discussion about whether the state believes and invests in prevention? So those are kind of the four points and the question around policy. So I guess my urge on behalf of these hundreds of folks and volunteers and kids is to really look at what that means locally. Thank you.
Very good.
Hi, my name is Mike Souter. I'm the superintendent of schools from Astoria, Oregon. I have four short messages I'd like to have you remember tonight. Number one, I married into a family where there was a state legislator, and I know the sacrifices that you all put forth to serve your communities, and we do appreciate you. Thank you. Number two, I'd like to remember this. Astoria School District abandoned the building that Clatsop Community College is now using 50 years ago because it was inadequate. 50 years ago this year, they desperately need updated facilities to serve the community for their education needs. I'd like to share some good news with you. The recession that we went through, the challenges that we went through, I've been in education 34 years. I've been a superintendent 16 years. I grew up in Oregon. My mother's a retired teacher. I've been around education. The last couple years has been some of the biggest challenges we have ever faced because of funding. It's not your fault. It's not anybody's fault. But let me tell you, last year, Astoria School District cut $1.4 million out of their budget. That resulted in cutting 14 and a half teachers, one administrator, four classified people, one resource officer, and we closed an elementary school, and then the community reacted by putting a petition out to recall four of the five board members. And they were, thankfully, unsuccessful. It's a huge challenge. We're in a crisis. We're in a state of crisis. You can't fix it all, but we desperately need, and I know where you're at, $5.4 million to adequately fund education next year to keep us at the level that we are currently at. Next year, we will have $800,000 of increased fixed cost in PERS, medical insurance, and contractual issues. We can't control that. Please help us.
Good testimony. Thank you.
I'm Jack Kreider. I'm the general manager of the Port of Tillamook Bay. Welcome to beautiful Tillamook County. Next time we'll have some sunshine for you. So you're welcome back anytime. I represent the three ports in Tillamook County, the Port of Nehalem, the Port of Garibaldi, and, of course, the Port of Tillamook Bay. These are three economic workhorses in the county. We support over 500 jobs in the county. We do it with very, very little tax support. We generate all our revenues through user fees and leases and services we provide. There are no funds for infrastructure, and we have lots of infrastructure. And that infrastructure is all 50 to 100-plus years old. We have jetties that are failing. We have bays that need dredging. We have railroads with virtually 100-plus bridges. We have airports, buildings, utilities. We have it all. We support Senate Bill 71. It's a great start. We just need to keep it up. We also support the Marine Navigation Fund, the FAM grant, this is for airports, the Special Public Works Fund, and also the water wastewater fund. Let me just give you one example of how, by providing funds to these programs, it saves the state millions of dollars. One trestle goes out on a railroad, that's 24,000 semis on state highways. Big impact. Another highlight is our tools. We're still losing a lot of jobs to Washington. I wanted to thank Representative Smith. I'm going to shake his hand after this for getting us back our ports division. That is a tool we greatly need. We support the Port Revolving Fund loan. It needs to be funded more. There's only about $3 million remaining in that fund. We also need help matching federal money. Our delegation back in D.C. is getting very successful, so we need help matching those funds. We also support the industrial lands funding grant, the port planning and marketing grant, and also the community development grant programs. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Greg Johnson. I'm yours. I'm not from a committee. I'm not from community colleges or anything. I'm here as a concerned parent and a concerned son. My mom lives on what most people spend on for groceries a month. And I've seen children being pushed out of the high schools, not graduating, but getting certificates saying they went to school for 12 years. I've got a son, probably this year, 16 years old, that most likely will have to be sent to Bend, Oregon, because here they couldn't do what was needed for his education. And in a lot of ways, I'm proud of my country. In a lot of ways, I'm real ashamed. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. We'll have Jerry Underwood and Fair People, Tom Libby, Craig Brewington, and Roland Barkholz. Okay, thank you. And we'll also get Diane Moody on deck, too, please. Diane Moody on deck. Right ahead, sir. Thank you.
Dear committee members, my name is Ron Rush, and thank you for coming to Tillamook, Oregon. I operate a program called Marine Mill Center that serves developmentally disabled individuals. We're but one of hundreds of similar programs in the state of Oregon. In all, we serve a total of 7,500 people with developmental disabilities. I am here to request consideration in the state budget to enhance the extremely low wages of direct care staff in our program statewide. These staff provide professional-level services to individuals who can be considered most vulnerable citizens. They provide medical assistance, oftentimes complex in nature. They're responsible for assuring a safe environment for these individuals. These staff are responsible for attending to these individuals' hygiene needs and implementing complex behavioral management plans. Up until a few years ago, our state institution, the Fairview Training Center, was the primary system of care for these people. But Fairview closed, and the state now relies on programs like ours to assume the primary role of serving these people. We do the work now that the state used to do in serving these individuals. It's ironic that we are encouraged by the system that we operate under to call our direct care staff direct care professionals, but state funding levels only allow our programs to pay these individuals $9 an hour, obviously well less than a professional wage, and a wage that's a lot less than what their counterparts made when they worked in the institution serving these people. It's also ironic that the state of Oregon now has an increased reliance upon programs like ours serving these individuals, yet these same programs average an annual turnover rate of 60% statewide annually in serving these individuals. I personally have heard of a number of programs like ours who have turnover rates approaching 100%. We in the state of Oregon's community-based programs are proud of the work we do for our state's most vulnerable citizens. Programs like ours, since our very inception in the late 60s, have always been asked to do more with less, and we have. However, it can never be forgotten that when we started years ago, we started with very much less in the first place and have been continually asked by the state to assume greater and greater responsibilities in caring for our most vulnerable citizens. Programs like ours have had our funding frozen for the past 4 years. We've seen our costs rise dramatically. For instance, medical premium increases in the past year, 4 years have approached 100%. In most cases, programs like ours, unable to shoulder the entire burden, have had to shift these costs to employees who make a wage that is already hard-pressed to support them or their family. We in the community programs request your consideration in providing adequate funding to pay the backbone of our programs, and that's our valued direct care staff. And in conclusion, thank you very much for coming to Tillamook and the services you provide for us.
Thanks for what you do.
I just got started. Members of the committee, my name is John Sandusky, and I'm the director of a local anti-poverty nonprofit called Community Action Resource Enterprises, or CARE for short. With this letter, I'm providing you with a copy of our most recent annual report, which was handed out to you a minute ago. We mailed that out to our community partners in November. In addition to my letter, inside the annual report, you'll find a handy donation reply envelope. That's right, I'm here to ask you to send money. As the report tells you, CARE provides our county with a number of programs to try to provide for those in need or in crisis. We provide emergency services, energy assistance services, community food programs, homeless services, child care provider services. We also operate the Tillamook County Healthy Start Program, which we call Healthy Families. We also operate the Tillamook affiliate of Oregon Food Bank, our CARE Regional Food Bank, and finally, we built, own, and operate two senior and disabled persons assisted living facilities. As you might imagine, out of the hundreds of funding issues that you face in the legislature, many are of interest to us. I'd like to mention three. First, we would like to see you help maintain state support for the Healthy Start program. I realize some in the legislature have doubts about the effectiveness of Oregon's Healthy Start programs, but I'm here to tell you that in our county, our program is a vital part of our county's network of services, both government and private nonprofit provided, that serves new parents and families throughout our region. We believe we actually do help make a difference in reducing the incidence of child abuse or neglect, which is the actual purpose of the Healthy Start program. So when the Healthy Start portion of the Commission on Children and Families budget comes across your desks, I urge you to protect it, not reduce it, and help us to keep helping children. Second, the State Homeless Assistance Program. I understand there's a move in one of the other budget versions that you work with to severely cut the SHAP program. This program provides vital general state fund dollars to providers of homeless shelters. That's one of the resources we've been using to operate our Care House homeless family shelter. And the third thing is Medicaid reimbursement rates for assisted living. We provide half of our buildings with Medicaid tenants, which is way more than the requirement placed on us, and we're going to lose thousands and thousands of dollars if the Medicaid reimbursement rates are cut or capped. So we'd like to ask you not to have that happen to us and many others around the state. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Frank Hannah Williams. I am the director of Tillamook Family Counseling Center, a behavioral health care agency here in Tillamook, providing mental health services and services to those individuals who suffer from addictions. I would like to thank the two co-chairs and the rest of the committee as well. Thank the two co-chairs for including in their proposed budget the restoration of the nearly $4.1 million in cuts to community mental health funding and to Eastern Oregon Psychiatric Center that were in the governor's recommended budget. I thank you for those restorations. I would also like to draw your attention to two concerns in particular relating to areas where dollars have been lost during the last two legislative sessions and have not been restored. These reductions are connected to not only losses in services, but also to two areas where there is great need in Tillamook County. Number one is the $3.1 million reduction for residential and alcohol and drug treatment. Alcohol and drug addiction can have a powerful impact on individuals and families. Its impact is spread across all socioeconomic backgrounds and ethnic groups. You are all, no doubt, familiar with the damaging effects of methamphetamine abuse, and we see that on a daily basis here in Tillamook County. I mention this to paint a picture of need, especially the need for targeted and strategic residential treatment. When inpatient residential drug and alcohol treatment is needed, access and availability is a challenge for Tillamook County residents. Precious time is lost towards recovery when services at the right intensity cannot be accessed and are scarce in their availability. This is not just a concern for Tillamook County, but remains a challenge throughout the state. My request this evening is that you reconsider a significant need for detox and inpatient residential and drug alcohol treatment and restore those funds to the level that was removed within the past two biennials, an amount that is $3.1 million. Finally, I appeal to you to restore the $4 million cut to intensive mental health treatment for children, day treatment. This kind of specialized day programming is critical for those children who have intense behavioral and emotional challenges. Early intervention that is intense enough to stabilize recovery, support parents, allow children the opportunity to continue their education, minimize the impact on school systems, and minimize stigma is important. Again, I ask that you consider restoring these services to the previous level. My issue and my concern is one of timing. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
My name is Carol Brown. I'm the director of the Tillamook County Pioneer Museum, and I'm here tonight to speak of the culture piece in this picture. The good news is the culture is alive and well in Tillamook County. The presence of people who have a passion for music, art, literature, heritage, and history all make a significant contribution to the quality of life here. Working with other local citizens in developing the Tillamook County Cultural Plan with its own unique picture of Tillamook as required for participation in the Oregon Cultural Trust increased my exposure to Tillamook's widely diverse cultural resources. The Oregon Cultural Trust was developed to provide stable funding for the arts, humanity, and heritage. The framework is sound, the distribution is balanced, and it supports both statewide partners as well as community participation. Counties and tribes have worked hard to build broad participation in the plans they developed. I encourage your support for the Oregon Cultural Trust. And I also serve as the chairperson for CARES Board of Directors. And I just have great concerns for those on the margins in our society. So if you could please do what you can for Healthy Start, Homeless Services, and Medicaid. Thank you. And thank you very much for coming to Tillamook.
Co-Chair Scott, Schrader, committee members, my name is Bill Sargent. I'm an attorney in town. I have the privilege of being counsel for Tillamook County. In addition, I do a fair amount of civil litigation work. I do some dissolution work, and I do a substantial amount of work in as a criminal defense attorney. Some of that, a good portion, involves indigent defense work. I urge you to continue the funding for the Indigent Service Commission at its present levels. I understand that the two co-chairs have at least given their preliminary indication that they're in favor of doing that, and I urge the rest of you to go along with that. Words like proof beyond a reasonable doubt, innocent until proven guilty, effective assistance of counsel, are more than words for folks who don't have the money to pay for their own attorneys, to have investigators look into their cases. It's important to keep that funded at its present level. I'm here also as the president of the Tillamook County Bar Association to urge you to continue to supply the funding that's requested of you by the Chief Justice for the Judicial Department. I again thank the two co-chairs. I understand that they're somewhere close to what the Chief Justice would require. As you all know, our society is based upon the rule of law, and the judiciary is the forum where the rule of law is litigated. As legislatures, you know that the courts enforce your laws. The courts provide people the opportunity to come in and litigate the laws that you effectuate. And finally, upon occasion, they're called upon to interpret your laws. That's important for everybody. I urge you to continue that.
Thank you. Let's get Juanita Price, Jim Carlson, Mike Dill, Stephen Weigel, and Cheryl Vancelo on deck, please.
My name's Jim Carlson, and I'm a resident of Neatarts, Oregon. I'm the chair of our local sewer board's advisory committee called the NOSD Citizens Advisory Committee. We have a unique situation in our area where our sewer system is basically too old. It needs to be updated. We passed a bond measure last year to do some of the repairs on the infrastructure part of the sewer system. And we are now looking forward to spending some more money to update our sewer plant. What I am here primarily to do is to give you a quick little window into some of our elderly folks who are on fixed incomes and that live here in rural, not only in the coast, but all over rural Oregon. The sewer rates are going to go up. People that are on a fixed income that are elderly are not going to be able to stay in their homes that they historically have owned for a long time. Dan mother, I'm 54 years old. She lives down the street from me. She's always lived in the same house. She's on a fixed income. With the sewer rates going up, she's going to have to move somewhere. She doesn't know where to go. She's starting to cut back on her medications and her health care for fear that she'll lose her home. So what I'm doing here tonight is I'm asking you folks to take a look at any kind of alternative funding sources, either from the state or the federal government, to help us as we go about redoing our sewer systems throughout the state. It's a real problem.
Thank you.
Good evening, co-chairs Schrader and Scott and members of the committee. My name is Diane Moody. I live in Astoria, Oregon, and I'm the Community Seafood Initiative Director for Shorebank Enterprise Pacific and the Seafood Consumer Center. And I'm here this evening to encourage you to minimally sustain the budget allocation to the experiment station, Oregon State University Experiment Station, as well as to consider actually increasing it back to its 2001 level of $57 million. For those of you who may not know who Shorebank Enterprise Pacific is, it's a community development finance institution that provides non-bank capital and capacity building technical assistance to businesses in coastal communities as well as organizations and projects that strengthen our coastal communities. And for the last 5 years, we've actually been in direct partnership with Oregon State University Seafood Lab, Coastal Oregon Marine Experiment Station. And I just have to say, since the late 80s, I've been involved in community economic development field and worked in communities across the nation and have found that of all the land-grant universities, Oregon State University has one of the best programs, as well as for Coastal Oregon Marine Experiment Station. It is a vital economic development and educational component to our coastal communities. So I really strongly encourage that. I also want to just comment on some of the things that have happened as a result of the applied research and services provided by COMS to the local seafood industry specifically. It's helped the ports determine feasible ways to maintain working waterfronts, jobs, and necessary infrastructure to support fishermen and processors. They've also improved quality of seafood and handling practices for many of the fishermen. I also want to call out that they've developed new value-added seafood products and new technologies that are being introduced into the businesses that help them with food safety issues and increase their production capacity. The direct partnership with Community Seafood Initiative has been a great experience for us, and what has happened as a result of this direct partnership is being able to put about $3 million in capital out on the streets. So I really encourage you to sustain that and encourage you also to increase if possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman Schrader and Chairman Scott, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Craig Brewington. I'm superintendent of schools at Warrington Hammond School District. We're a small district. We have two buildings, 850 kids. In the last 6 years, we have eliminated the elementary music program, grades K through 4. We've cut our PE program in half at the elementary building. We've cut our PE program in half at the high school building. Our librarians, one in each building, have now gone to part-time basis. Typically, you have about one guidance counselor for 400 students. We'd have none. No guidance counselor. We don't have a business education teacher, so there are no bookkeeping, no secretarial skills classes. We don't have a shop teacher. We don't have carpentry. We don't have auto mechanics. We don't have welding. We don't have a vocational program. Junior high sports was eliminated last year. Any funding for junior high sports has to be raised by the community and by the parents and paid for by them because the district doesn't have the money to do that. We eliminated the junior varsity sports program at the high school. All funding for that program has to be raised by the parents. A year ago, our teachers got a 2% salary increase. This year, they took a freeze. Next year, they get 1%. There aren't many avenues for us to go to. Quite frankly, our kids need all the money that you people can come up with. And quite frankly, their educational opportunity lies in your hands. And if not you, who? I want to thank you for listening tonight, and I really want to promise you that I would like to be in Salem the day the legislature adjourns, and really thank you folks for listening and acting on what is best for children in Oregon.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Libby. I'm on the advisory board of Coastal Oregon Marine Experiment Station, and I also operate a processing plant for seafood in Hammond, Oregon. One thing that I've seen here tonight is that we all need money. In one way or another, everybody is asking for some more money. I'd like you to consider what Coastal Oregon Marine Experiment Station has done to generate that money. In 1978, and this is going back some time, but when I first came to Hammond, Oregon in the seafood industry, in conjunction with the seafood lab, we came up with a process that increased the recovery on shrimp. Over the 25 years that have passed since that time, the value of that project is approximately $80 million. That's a lot of money, a lot of revenue that's added to the industry and to the business in Oregon. All taxable dollars. In addition to that, the surimi school and processing of surimi and the technology that was required was primarily developed by the Coastal Oregon Marine Experiment Station through the Seafood Lab in Astoria. Over the years, that process has contributed in excess of $200 million, and those are conservative figures. But I urge you to consider when you're talking about all of the money that's necessary, and how do we fund the services that are necessary and that we all agree are needed, is there a way within the budget that you can generate more tax dollars? The scientists at Coastal Oregon Marine Experiment Station have proven time and time again that they can generate additional dollars to the state, and I think that it would be reasonable to expect that we could restore their level to the 2001 level. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry, the proud individual that's given us this facility tonight.
Chair Schrader and Chair Scott, could I ask for just maybe one alteration to your the format and request that I could bring up the Fair Board to introduce them to you? I promise that once they get here, we'll just it'll still cover it in 2 minutes. I'm just going to speak for them, but I'd like to present them to you at the same time if that's possible.
Why don't you introduce them as they walk forward?
Okay. Coming forward with a cowboy hat, that's Mel Tupper, is our president of our Fair Board.
Mel.
The one, Bill Hudgens is next to him. He's a board member. And then Doug Doyle is also a board member. The reason I would like to have the Chair Scott and Chair Schrader and the rest of the committee to introduce them is we're very proud of the facilities that you're seeing here. We have a terrific Fair Board, and I wanted to introduce them mostly because this year they were recognized as the Citizens of the Year for Tillamook County for their volunteer work to Tillamook County. But as a group, we want to thank this committee for agreeing at this time with the governor's budget to fully fund county fairs at the request. This is the first time since 1991 that I've been here that both the either the governor's budget did not reach the funds we were hoping for, or else there was not an agreement between the Ways and Means and the governor. And so that's a thank you from the Fair Board and I to at this time, and hope that it continues to keep in that amount. And I want to mention that as my position on the Oregon Fairs Association, I'm in the chairman of the Records and Information Committee. And that's where we get back to the legislature and let you know how those dollars are being spent. And I think some of you, especially as Senator Johnson was, now Senator Johnson, was involved in setting up House Bill 3960 and getting that passed to get stable dollars for the county fairs through lottery dollars. That the reports I shared with some of you guys, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I see some of the people here that I made a presentation with our Executive Secretary, John McCauley. And I want you to know that those reports show that the dollars are coming in and being used. You've had now have the county fairs with policies and showing where they're spending their dollars. And most of those dollars are going back to the kids. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Michael Hinton, Marina or Makina Dennison, pardon me, Barb Castile, Dan Crane, Catherine Newton. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you. Yes, I'm Michael Hinton. I am commissioner with the Clatsop County Commission on Children and Families. I'm here to speak on behalf of my fellow commissioners and our director, Don Schreiner. I've been a member of CCF for 6 years, more than half the life of the existing state commission. For 2 years, I have been chair of that commission. I will not give up on our values. I am here. I have concerns about SB 5505. I support the governor's budget, which would include funding equal to the last biennium for our programs. Every spring, we hold the Commission on Children and Families Youth Recognition Awards. And at these presentations, we reap the fruit of our programs for youth and families, right along with our schools and our community partners who devote much of their time and energy to turn the lives of at-risk youth around, many from the brink of failure and despair. We have shown our community what we have accomplished working together. Last December 2004, there was a celebration dinner. It was called Hitch Your Wagon to a Star. It was a 10-year celebration of the existence of the Commission on Children and Families. The guest speaker's name was George McKenna III, a renowned educator from California. And in his words, "We must put children first, or our society will fail." The present attempt to wipe out the funding for the Commission on Children and Families must not go unchallenged. It will undo 10 years of progressive grassroots empowerment that has benefited every regional county government and focused delivery of health and human services to children and families in Oregon, which includes reducing juvenile crime in partnership with juvenile justice and crime prevention. My time up?
I'm afraid so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stephen Weigel. I'm a 19-year-old student at Tillamook Bay College, Community College. I just wanted to start and tell you a little bit of a personal experience I had with budget cuts. I was a graduate in 2003 from Century High School in Hillsboro, Oregon, and we received one of the hardest hits from the budget cuts of 2003. They cut 10 days off of our school schedule, and at the end of the year, we received another three-week cut off of our school schedule, and it kind of lessened some opportunities of learning that I had on my senior year. I don't meet the need for financial aid because I'm under the age of 25, so the government's still looking at my parents' income. So I'm forced to work, and I'm working a 40-hour week and attempting to save money in order to go to the transfer to a four-year university after I received my two-year transfer degree. I believe that if we increased funds to the school system, it could diversify the classes offered and increase the enrollment. And more budget cuts could lead to lower enrollment, and it can impact more than just what's happening today. It'll impact what's going to happen tomorrow. And I thank you for the time.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Dill, and I live in one of those little unincorporated towns in South County Woods, Oregon. We don't really need any money there. We just built a full court basketball court, and out of kind of volunteer money and stuff like that. But I came here to pass something on for somebody else, and it concerns fire prevention and suppression. In 2005, when money is tight and budgets are short, it may be time to re-examine the use of the forest products harvest tax to fund the Oregon forest resources industry. Almost one-third of this tax goes to OFRI for education. It may be prudent to look at reducing or eliminating OFRI's share of the tax. Almost $7 million has been forecasted for OFRI for the 2005 biennium. Recent testimony, HB 2327, shows a need for increased fire protection dollars in Oregon. HB 2327 shifts funding for fire protection on private lands from private landowners and timber owners to taxpayers. Potential cost to the general fund, $10 million. Whether this comes from the emergency fund or HB 2327 makes no difference. It is a substantial cost in a tight budget period. HB 2327 is in Ways and Means, and Susan Morgan is its champion. The legislation should use existing revenue sources such as the forest products harvest tax rather than strain the current general fund or the emergency fund for fire protection on private land, which means less money for schools, health care, and seniors. Use the portion of the harvest tax dedicated to OFRI for PR and education for fire protection on private lands instead. If the money is not needed in the next biennium, it can be put into a final fund for future in the same manner.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I was just wondering, Senator Carter, do you dream of that buzzer at night? Do you dream about that buzzer at night?
It seems to take turns. Go right ahead.
Senator Schrader and Representative Scott, my name is Juanita Price. I've lived in Astoria with my husband and family since 1964. My husband and I became members of the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill in 1988 when our daughter was diagnosed with, our adult daughter was diagnosed with schizophrenia. I currently serve on the Public Policy Committee of the NAMI Oregon Board. It seems to me today the issue is all about priorities and how we're going to spend our money in Oregon. And with many of the people who are testified, my concern is education. Everyone's already spoken about K-12 and the community colleges and higher ed. I think we should give some consideration to programs in the communities, in community mental health, not just for the professionals, but for the families. And I endorse what the Tillamook mental health representative spoke in regard to the cuts. They total, in my estimation, from the report I saw, $70 million. That's just the cut in mental health and addiction services. The third point for education is in corrections. Many people in jail, many of those inmates should be having treatment rather than being in jail. The Oregon prison system has nearly doubled, according to your chart, in the past 10 years to roughly 13,000 prisoners. We're not putting more people in prison. Rather, we're putting people in prison for a longer time. for longer sentences. Oregon's incarceration rate has gone up by a mind-boggling 66.2%. It has risen from 206 per 100,000 residents to 342 per 100,000 residents in 2002.
Need you to finish up.
Building another prison will create more than $200 million of debt, and it'll take us 25 years to pay that off.
Thank you very much.
My closing remarks are to those of you in the Senate. Thank you, Senator Bates, for sending me your newsletter. In the Senate, you voted for Senate Bill 1, which is the parity issue. And I hope, if it ever has a hearing in the House, that you will vote for the companion bill, House Bill, I have it here.
Well, hopefully they'll get to Senate Bill 1.
501, no, that's the corrections. House Bill 5016 is corrections. Anyway, there's a companion bill in the House. It's a bipartisan. It was signed by 10.
We really do have to go on, ma'am.
I know.
I'm terribly sorry.
Thank you all for coming. And if I really believed in mental health, I would suspend this session.
I can tell you're working hard. Thank you very much. Very much. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hello. My name is Cheryl Vanzolo, and I'm here to share my community college success story. I was a teen parent a couple decades ago, and up till 5 years ago, I didn't even have a high school diploma. After a divorce 3 years ago, I had to make a choice. I had to support four children. I decided to go to community college. In the community college, I was grateful to receive funding, federal and state funding, to attend classes. I have received an associate's degree. And I have received a job from the community college. I'm currently working in the business office at Tillamook Bay Community College thanks to my education there, and I am giving back to the community. I get to work with the students that are coming up behind me and attend classes and learn things from people like Stephen. There are a lot of kids that are struggling to go to school these days, and I understand more than anyone because I have a daughter who also attends the community college. And if it weren't for community college, not only would I not be able to be a striving community citizen, able to pay my taxes and dedicate my service to the community, but neither would my children. The reality is that this community supports education. I am another one of those examples because I received a scholarship that was funded completely from local donations. Thanks to their support, I hope to continue that support for other students. I can't express enough how important it is for us to continue to keep these doors open for people who don't have other options. I was just a year ago part of the Oregon Health Plan on food stamps. Today, my kids have health insurance, dental insurance, and a future. And that's all because of the community college system. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is basically our last group. There may be some people that didn't sign up on the sheet. If there's a few of you that absolutely, really, really need to testify, please feel free to come forward after this group right here. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. ODF doesn't need $300 million to deplete watershed function in our state forests. Please leave their budget the same as it was the last budget. They must invest in recreation 15%, not 3% of their budget, to boost the tourism economy. They must hire an additional biologist and two more monitors, and they must pay for the amount of accounts receivable already due.
We need your name, too, ma'am.
Marcia Dennison.
Thanks, Marcia.
Yeah. Okay. Finance the poorest and the sick, emergency and medical services. Poverty causes crime. Invest in the poor, not in resource and watershed depletion. Vote yes for Senate Bill 1000. outlaw foie gras tortured duck, fund OMAP and the homeless, pay for our ODF's budget, and release more prisoners. Protect our state forest watersheds. Don't log our water sources. Water is too precious to lose. And the fish need it too. Don't cut the poor. Cut all free PR. Cut the interpretive center. Spend it on the poor. And I have hepatitis C. Please don't let me die. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Barbara Castile. I work for Tillamook Bay Community College. I'm sure you noticed on your way over here how conveniently remote we are from absolutely everywhere. One of the things that makes it important about that is that a lot of our students who come to us are place-bound. They have families here. They have businesses here. They have limited budgets or disabilities. They are unable to travel the long distances that make it possible to go to some other institutions, the four-year universities, or even some of the other community colleges. I think it's critical that we continue support to the community college at the level it is, and also include the capital funding, you know, capital improvements funding. My position is a little bit varied. I work in testing and enrollment, so I have the privilege of meeting almost every student, every new student who comes to the college, either by enrolling them in classes or giving them placement tests or providing GED testing for the students. I can't tell you how exciting and life-changing it is for a person to receive a GED certificate. We have so many people that come to the college just absolutely terrified that they haven't finished their high school education, and here's a second chance to finish that. I have four students who have decided to walk on our graduation ceremony. At least two of them were on public assistance a year ago and are ready to go ahead and start college classes come summertime. They are absolutely ecstatic that they are going to finally get their high school diploma. I also do the placement testing for the college. I meet everybody who wants to come in there, and all different reasons for coming to the community college for placement testing. We have people who are finishing their high school and want to do classes during their senior year. We have people who are recovering from injuries, vocational rehabilitation, and that sort of thing. When they come into placement testing, they're terrified. They say, oh, I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fail. And I say, you can't fail this test. It's impossible. We don't fail this test. It just tells you what you need to take. I say, if you know your ABCs and you can count to 10, we have a class for you. Please make sure that we can continue to make this a true statement.
Thank you. Great, sir.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Dan Crane. I'm the Tillamook County Juvenile Department Director. I'm a member of the Commission on Children and Families. I'm the parent of a community college student and Coast Guard reservist and a sophomore at Tillamook High School. I will keep my comments brief. I've heard from – I spend a lot of time in your fair city in the valley. Thanks for coming to my city.
Sure.
The issue of prevention, there's a lot of discussion about we can't afford to fund prevention. When you are looking at the Department of Corrections budget, consider the fact that you cannot afford not to fund prevention. Consider that when you're looking at the CCF budget. Consider that when you're thinking of about the juvenile crime prevention dollars. Consider another thing about as far as leadership is concerned. You heard from a gentleman tonight who has rebuilt his life coming out of the Department of Corrections. We need to lead and get away from mandatory minimum sentencing and stacking people on top of each other and get back to programming in the prisons that lead people out and back to productive citizenship. I think how you do that is that by sentences that are based on incentives. Mr. Sargent mentioned indigent defense. The thing that he didn't mention is basically every child that goes to court in dependency court is represented by one of those lawyers. Don't forget about that when you're thinking about indigent defense. And I guess lastly, remember in your hearts and minds what it was that brought you to leadership, and think about that when you're undertaking the tough job you got. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Had on our agenda tonight, did we miss any? Once, I think you already spoke, sir.
I will ask for money on this one. Can you support two additional FTEs for research and monitoring for ODF? Because
if you
I
give
think
some money, I'd be glad to do that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate everyone coming. It's been very good. Welcome. Thank you very much.